This video is brought to you by friend of the channel Squarespace. Stick around to learn more about how their intuitive website creation tools help people turn their hobbies into careers and dreams into reality.
It is pretty.
It is very impressive.
Yeah, it's very sharp.
Felt it in my skull bone.
By the way, no one has ever seen Stu before.
Oh, yeah, Stu, get back out here.
Get out here, Stu. Get out here, Stu.
Stu. Okay.
So this is Stuart. Hi, he is the editor of the Friends Per Second podcast and also one of the editors on the Skill Up channel. So he lives in San Fran, which is why he's here now. He's come down to visit. So good to have you here, man.
Good to be here.
Thank you. All these lovely people. Thank you for inventing Friends Per Second. I love that. I love how you did that. That was really cool.
It's very, very good.
Founder.
Really, no problem.
And thank you for the clicking thing. That was very professional.
Yeah,
that was real. That was a real nice start. This setup is very unusual for us.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, hey, let's just upgrade our little setup a little bit, because usually we have like the hotel thing and the lighting is garbage and whatever. We're like, you know what? Let's spend a little bit of money this time and let's get a little logo up behind us. And we have a proper recording studio and it's nice.
I don't think I've ever been in this type of like podcasting. Like, this is like a real
podcast room. Yeah.
Podcast room.
Yeah.
I mean, we had the old like Giant Bomb stuff in the office.
Yeah. It's a very similar vibe to this.
I feel like I could, because it's so, padded, I feel like I really want to scream and just see what that would be like. I won't.
Yeah. Use it as a scream room.
I feel like a real podcaster now.
Yeah, right.
I was about to say, I feel like Joe Rogan, but I didn't want to be like that
Who's
guy.
Got some weed?
Yeah.
That's right. Someone put a flag up behind us, quick.
Someone did, everyone's been posting their Spotify Wrapped, and it's been, first of all, amazing to see how many people, how many users have got.
Shout-outs.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's nice.
I got Friends Per Second on there, and then one person tweeted us, and I'm like, you guys beat Joe Rogan. How does that make you feel?
I could beat him in a fight, too. Definitely. Easy. Done. Well, we're here. This is Friends Per Second, episode 35. At some point in December. We're here. I'm Jake Baldino. This is Skill Up. This is Lucy James. And special Goblin guest,
yes,
the goat.
I'm back.
Tamor Hussein.
All of the in-person ones. You've been on every in-person.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. Thank you for having me once again. I appreciate it.
We don't mess with tradition, so you know. Yeah.
I don't think we even ask anymore.
No, we just say,
hey man, it would be really great. Could you do us a favor?
No, we're just like, yo, here's the calendar invite.
Where are you?
I really appreciate it. Yeah, I enjoy being on this one especially, because also the community is really nice, like around it. So it's like, and let's be honest, there's some real nasty podcast communities out there. So this is the one time where I like refresh my energy and be like, podcast can be good. And obviously I love talking to you guys.
Thank you for having me.
We're all here because of the Game Awards. We're in town.
I was gonna say, you just said it's at some point in December. Is the day after the Game Awards, boys.
Yes, thank you.
It is the morning. Well, actually, it's the afternoon now, but it was the morning after the Game Awards recently.
Was it the morning after?
We skipped the morning
in bed.
I think you can pinpoint it by going back and listen to the difference in voices. I can see.
I had to record, so I recorded my new show yesterday, and then I had to add in today all the Game Awards stuff. So it's like a harsh voice change. It's just like harsh and like circles under my eyes.
Yeah, definitely.
Because we have a new show as well, and we usually record it on Thursdays, go for Fridays, and work. We're like, oh, are you guys gonna do Spot On from LA? And I was like, no,
definitely not.
So I think we're gonna kind of go in depth with the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really cool interview and stuff. Yep. So kicking it off, the general ceremony, the thing itself. The award speeches were pretty short.
Oh, dude.
Let's just rip the Band-Aid off with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, overall, as a spectacle, it's a fun show.
Mm.
But there were definitely points in it where I was like, has it forgotten that it's called the Game Awards? And I genuinely wonder, because I noticed this year more than ever, Jeff was referring to it as TGAs.
Mm. Yeah.
He kept saying TGAs.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've never picked up on him doing that before. And I wonder if it's part of
a sort of branding thing, like a subtle brainwashing thing. Like, I'm gonna get them to forget this is an award show, which is TGA now. Like, Like when Kentucky Fried Chicken just went KFC because they don't want to have the word fried in their name. Is that what you think it is?
Is that why
that happened?
Wow.
Well, I assume so. I mean, right?
Damn, it worked though.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it used to be Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, I shouldn't eat so much fried chicken. but KFC.
Just holding it. KFC. Is good KFC.
Just holding a bucket and a drum. Is this grilled?
That's right. I always thought that this everyone knew this about KFC. Maybe this is my own headcanon that I made up KFC about like what's why they did this.
He knows the 11 herbs and spices.
Yeah, that's what it is. It definitely felt like it was the rattling off of like all the cool awards that like people voted for and people like debated online. It was here's best blank, and then it was like he got to a point too where he was rattling them off fast and not even pausing between them.
Well, that's the thing. When Larian won like two or something in a row, because we were like sat over the aisle from them, they were all just like they all stood up and went yay, and then that was it. And so if you'd won that award and like Alan Wake for art direction too, it was just like. Yeah. They don't get that moment. And even if you did one, you didn't get that moment. But we did get to see 10 minutes of Kojima and Jordan Peele.
My good friend.
Just broing out. Hey, what's up? We're doing things.
Anthony Mackie. I think the Fallout bit was good.
I mean.
It was loud as.
Oh, it was so loud.
Oh, my God. My ears. I honestly felt like I had to do this for that one. Because I was just. Yeah.
Any trailer with speech in it, I don't know about you, but where we were sitting, it felt like really weirdly like balanced. I couldn't. Anytime someone spoke in a trailer, I could barely hear what they were saying. Right. It was like really weird.
Yeah.
But as for like the show overall, I also think like I'm not trying to defend it at all. I'm just saying like this is a fact that is happening. Every year, there's a different set of expectations on what that show needs to do.
It's always a shifting conversation.
It's a shifting and evolving conversation, and it's often an important one. But I think it's also a symptom of being the only game in town, right? Like there's no. Other awards that on that scale. There's the kind of like DICE awards and that kind of stuff.
Joystick, DICE.
Exactly. But like this, no one has those kinds of expectations on those in the same way. And I feel like it's the double-edged sword of presenting yourself as the kind of face of video games in the larger media landscape, as Jeff has done. If you're going to do that, you kind of are also accepting the burden of having to respond to those shifting conversations, because there was a lot of expectations. After last year, it was like, oh, you know, a lot of time was spent with people doing long speeches, so the reaction was to cut it short, which is not great. But there was a bunch of other expectations with, you know, the future class thing happening where they put together the kind of open letter, and that wasn't addressed at all.
Yes.
It was in fact that we got like an opening speech that kind of
it
almost recognized that it happened.
Yes.
But didn't address it in a it was like just like not winking and nodding at something, but without presenting any it was like this brings us together. And it's like that's not the right time to you gotta say something.
True.
So there's so many like things going on that it feels like it will never win. Like it can never be like perfect.
Unless it's a split it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that the split up idea just doesn't work. And I see that all the time. And I'm like, well, that just fundamentally, there's just no way that would work. Because people would only tune in for the trailers. That's it. And I think, So, I mean, like for me personally, like I've always understood the challenges that Jeff faces with this event. Mm. And I've always kind of, like people say, like, I've definitely been accused of being a Jeff apologist. Where, I'm like, you know, and I'm like, no, look, it's really hard to put this on. It costs a lot of money. Sure, we have to sit through some bullshit fucking commercials and whatever. But, like, he's doing it. And that's important and whatever. But this year, like, they really lost me with this event. And I was like, really mad halfway through. Mm. And the point where I got really mad was when like Best Indie Game was announced.
Oh, the Cocoon one.
That was Best Debut.
Oh, was it? Sea of Stars
won Best Indie Game with Terry, and he didn't get to stand up and receive that award. And I was like, at that point, I was just like, no, fuck this. This sucks. Yeah. You know, because that person deserves that moment. Mm. And the very next cut after that was like they cut straight to a commercial for a gacha game. You know what I mean? Like the contract and Jeff's up there and he's like, oh, I love profiling indies and I really want to use this space to profile indies. And if you can't give the best indie game of the year the chance to stand up and give a 30-second speech, then no. I mean, and the same with best score for Final Fantasy 16 was Soken. Soken made that music while he was going through chemo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was writing for two fucking video games. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he didn't get to receive that. Armored Core won Best Action Game. And that community, like, that was a thing for them to be recognized. Like, that was a big deal. A lot of people really, like, Armored Core means something to a lot of people. And for From to be able to get up there and receive that award would have been something, you know?
Yeah, and not to be the apologist, for, not the From guy, but, like, for that team as well.
Totally.
To be coming out of a developer known for Souls games, being able to put your foot down and say, like, we can make these games too, that's got to be devastating to be like, oh, when you make Souls games, it's a big, you know, song and dance that it happens. But when we make an Armored Core game, a niche title franchise with a smaller audience, and we do it this well, we don't get that recognition. It's unfortunate.
Best art direction didn't get its moment. There was one other one. I can't remember
like
now.
The community stuff from
Community, about from, yep, from Larian, yep. Mm. But I mean, it's just overall.
Oh, did Evolving, did...
Ongoing game,
ongoing?
Got
is
it.
Because
that was for Cyberpunk.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a whole other thing. We should definitely come back to their conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. They were behind us and they had the same thing. But we were like, oh.
Yeah. So, like, I just, on balance, that, all of it really pissed me off a lot. And
did Jeff tweet?
He did. Well, so he tweeted about the third, because what also was revealed was that people were told they only had 30 seconds to receive their award.
Yeah.
And first of all, 30 seconds is not enough time. It's just not. No. And I go, no, like Chris Judge did the 8-minute thing or whatever and made his joke about Call of Duty this year. Yeah. Quite funny.
Oh, that's proven very spicy.
Is it really?
Yeah. I mean, saw a lot of
like a bunch of people who probably who worked on that game were in the audience like,
But to be fair, it's very funny. So like, let's be real.
Objectively
it's
funny.
It's very funny, you know?
Very funny.
So, so yeah, obviously Jeff did tweet out saying, oh, the 30-second thing was too short. I agree. And I asked them to relax it later in the show. But by that point, people were already briefed that you only have 30 seconds because they got an email before, you know, and so they're all getting up there with their 30-second speeches ready. So I, in the past, as I said, I've understood the balance. I've definitely, you know, defended what was going on and the reasons for it. But this year, the 30-second speeches coupled with so many awards not going directly to people, having their moment, that I was like, no, this is terrible. Yeah. And this
but
I really, really dislike
well,
this
like,
ceremony.
In terms of the actual speeches, if you talk about the moments that typically get shared,
yeah.
a lot
yeah.
of it is speech. Stuff from speeches. And
as
like,
a fan, as a viewer, like the watchability, like you, those moments, like that's how you get like fuck the Oscars,
fuck the Oscars.
And like all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Just because you let people cook.
But it's also like those speeches also serve as a way. We talk to these developers all the time. And most of them are PR trained to stay on beat, on point. They're almost like robots at times.
Yes.
These are the moments where you see them as their most human.
Abu.
And yeah, like Abu Bakr Salim was up there. He's a new developer. But like the moment where he's struggling to get through because, you know, this is a game dedicated to his passed away father. That was like an important moment. But also like in a year where we've had
totally agree.
Layoff after layoff after layoff. And you want to see the kind of shining stars of the industry step up and address that. And like Sam Lake started doing it and he was talking about what it means to be a developer. And then the get off out of here music begins to play. It's like have a little kind of be in the moment and like pull that back and be like, this is an important thing that needs to happen. The developers are given the opportunity to humanize themselves to people who in a lot of ways, not everyone does this, but spend time treating them basically as video game vending machines.
Yes.
Like when is this, we're going to get this game, you know, on Twitter, why is this like this, et cetera. Like this is a moment where they can speak and be like, this was rough. This took us 7 years. No, thank you to the team that did this. Not even letting them have that in a year where it's been awful for the video game industry. It seems like such a dichotomous like kind of approach. And it's reflected in other parts as well, where like, you know, the future class presented by Old Spice.
Yeah, I know.
Like
I saw
award
that.
Comes out and like you're profiling on stage the future class. And then you go on Twitter and the future class members are like, we got shoved in the corner. We can't see the screen. Yeah. There's camera jibs in front of us.
Sure.
Like it's such a inadvertent, for sure, right? Surely. Someone who believes that the show is designed to try and celebrate it, I assume that's inadvertent. But, like, just look at that.
Yeah.
It looks like you're, like, curtailing or you're kowtowing to the commercial side of it more than the human side of it.
Definitely. Yeah. We should not have had better seats in the future class. You know what I mean? Like, no way.
Yeah,
no
put
way.
Us in the back.
Put us in the corner. Yeah. It's fine. Whatever, 100%. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, and I wonder, look, and I think as well, when I see this conversation online, I definitely see a lot of, because I don't think we're that far from the solution, by the way.
No.
Like, I actually think on balance, the idea that we have trailers and also awards is good because it does bring eyeballs and I like it. And I'm not proposing this wholesale shift where we do one thing or the other or whatever, but like just trim off a few trailers, add in a few more things where people get to stand up and receive their awards, give them more time to speak, and then that's your successful award ceremony. That's it. And I don't imagine the discourse is going to swing wildly and think it's so boring, so many boring speeches. It's like, okay, whatever, just be patient. You know what I mean? Like give these people the chance to speak. So I don't know.
Also, like, I think the fascination with like celebrity, I think, gets in the way.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
Every once in a while, I love like someone coming out and doing a funny, but like Timothée Chalamet didn't do anything.
Yeah, and like also he awarded Game of the Year. Yeah, like it's why are you giving away? That's like should be from the person who won Game of the Year last year.
Yeah.
They should be doing it.
I mean, I don't think Miyazaki's.
I just refer to Timothée Chalamet as our Wonka.
Our
Wonka.
He also we watched him walk into like a bit of the stage. he went bang, and then I could see him like look to see if anyone
just like us.
I also wonder how he felt because like Larian just like took the award, just like did not acknowledge him at all.
Yeah.
Like they just
like.
And
thank you're saying lies
about people. You're saying about the joke as well, like.
Oh yeah.
So, that was funny.
Yeah, I mean, like if you know, like his past is reviewing.
That was an internet cut. That was deep.
Yeah. But like that's how he was presented, and so when he walked out, no one was applauding.
Who's this?
Yeah.
I was like, oh okay, but yeah, I mean, right. Like I get that Simu Liu is a gamer, like he's done Game Awards before, and he is in Stormgate. Anthony Mackie's bit was like
he was just telling people to shut up for a long time.
Like that was weird.
And I imagine if you were watching on stream
in the audience, it was pretty good.
In the audience, it was fine.
He was doing some crowd work.
Yeah, but if you couldn't hear the audience, you just heard this man going, "Shut up! Shut up!
Shut up!
Shut up! Shut up!" Like it'd be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Falcon sucks, man.
He's coming out and being mean. Yeah, but like, very heroic.
The Fallout bit made a lot of sense to me. It was good to cut to, you know, Todd Howard's there and no one's there. And then they did that with like Last of Us last year and whatever. But
there was a missed opportunity with Gonzo when he brought the board with the chicken. Mind Place joke.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be.
Mind board. Mind Place.
The other thing is like, they talked about like, you know, having these people who are celebrities come up as gamers and, you know, like, I love it when I played this game in my, but like, Abu did the same thing, right? Yes. And talked about the games that he loves. And that was so much more meaningful than, and like, I don't care if Anthony Mackie has played Pong and loves video games. So it's just like, celebrate our celebrities before you celebrate your another medium celebrities.
100% agree.
Understand that it's not as big of a draw, but like, at least balance it a bit, you know?
Yeah. No, that's it.
Yeah, because I mean, surprisingly, I mean, Matt Mercer was up there, but like, normally you get like Laura Bailey or Troy Baker's or... Like, I mean, Ed Boon, I guess, and Vince Zampella was there. So there, I guess there was some elements.
That was good. Seeing Vince Zampella up there, I'm like, yeah, this is the kind of person I want to see up there.
Yeah, exactly.
And he really kind of like owned that stage and owned that moment. He talks about game design. You're like, this man knows game design. Like,
exactly.
Better than anybody in this fucking room, this man understands game design. And when he talks about it, I want to hear about it, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, and the elephant in the room is the Kojima Jordan Peele moment, which an amazing like announcement. Really theatrically done, nice. Mm-hmm. Looked like he came out the door from PT as a little like FU to Konami, like that kind of stuff. But like, did we really need it to go on for 10 minutes?
We did
like,
not.
Everything they said to each other, Kojima and Jordan Peele, was 100% worthless.
Yes.
Like, it is two people glazing each other up in front of millions. It's like, no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
Like, no one cares if you've got a famous friend and you've got access to Kojima. One of the biggest Kojima fans of all time. I'm wearing a Metal Gear t-shirt.
Yeah, that's right.
I love, like, when he speaks. He said nothing interesting there. Yeah. And Jordan Peele didn't say anything interesting there. Like, have him come out, do a minute or two, whatever, and get him out of here. What was the point?
I can't believe we haven't even mentioned that Matthew McConaughey was here.
Like, oh my God. Like,
there's so many celebrities that you literally just forget Matthew McConaughey came out. All right.
He was good, though.
You guys met my friend last night. So, randomly, it turns out that one of my best friends from school was in LA.
Okay.
She's not a gamer at all.
Right.
Hasn't played games since, like, we played games together when we were kids.
Right.
She and her boyfriend were in town, and I was messaging her from the event, and she was like, what are you going to? What is this thing? And I was like, oh, it's like an awards ceremony and like we're looking at new trailers of games and then, oh, Matthew McConaughey's here. And she's like, what? And then I posted Timothée Chalamet in my story and she was like, what the fuck? Where are you? And I was like, I don't know. Come to the bar afterwards. And, yeah.
But I wanted. I wonder if it has the intended impact of like the normies. Are they paying attention to the Game Awards because they hear that Matthew McConaughey and Timothée Chalamet are hanging out at this thing and like Hollywood Reporter reports on it and therefore like it gets picked up? Is that the goal?
That is the intended effect. Yeah.
You would be surprised at just how impactful like a trade like Hollywood Reporter and Variety reporting on yourself. And if you get the big names, you get there, you get the ads.
I mean,
like,
I guess.
It's part of the ecosystem. It's the unfortunate reality of part of it of putting a show together like that.
Sure.
Yeah. Especially as the video game industry kind of the lines between video game industry, Hollywood industry starts to blur even more and more. Like Hollywood has like wrung superheroes dry now and it seems like the next step is video games. Like and definitely. For better or worse, like this game show is positioning itself to be a good middle ground or like a bridge between the two worlds. But it's like leveraging that is like really doing it. When that comes at a disservice to the people whose backs this industry is built off, I'm not up for that, man. Like I don't want that smoke. Even if it means like I'd rather not hear from Kojima if someone else can, if like, you know, Sea of Stars developers get to talk about it. I'll take that L, even though I love Kojima. Like,
totally.
100%.
Matthew McConaughey, whatever, dude. He came out and he's like, I'm in the game, man. the trailer played and I was like, was he in the game?
Yeah. I don't think he was in the trailer.
Yeah. He's just in the game.
He's just literally, they were like, get the Interstellar guy for our Interstellar inspired.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool.
Probably like a minor side character or whatever.
Well, on a positive note, cool things at the event, being present for the Alan Wake 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was great. I don't know how well it translated over to like watching on stream, but it was incredible.
Awesome. That was actually that was one of the best things I've ever seen at an award show.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And the fact that Sam Lake got up there himself and was just doing his thing, it was fantastic.
But it was so nice to have both Alans. Like, you had Ilka.
Yeah.
All three Alans.
and doing the miming along and Matthew Peretta. Oh my god.
Dude, he can sing.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I was watching him.
I'm like, damn, man, you're fucking talented.
Live singing. In the game is great, but like live, I was like, he's crisp as hell.
Trained.
Yeah, he is. He's got it. Now that you're right. To be fair, there were some of those great moments. Where, you know, you're like, yeah, I'm really glad I'm here. And I like being in the crowd. And it's nice to feel it. And it's nice to see that stuff happen.
Blade was hype as hell.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Yeah. But,
I mean, like, and I always love the orchestra.
Yeah.
Pipe Man.
Oh, the Hellblade.
Like,
performance.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Gorgeous.
The musical stuff always makes me emotional.
Sure.
Like, hearing the music that loud on that scale.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of this show.
Final Fantasy was incredible.
Yeah, and if you can give him credit for anything, they always nail the music.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
He reloaded his flute. Like,
he
had a Dark Souls 2 phase boss fight. He got a bigger weapon now.
He was hitting Y and pulling out he had the Halo 2 weapon swap. Like, yeah.
No, he's great. I wonder what the other people in the orchestra think about him though.
I do.
They just be like, dude. Fuck you. You know, like, it's not all about you, man.
Yeah.
I immediately recorded him for the entire
performance. Yeah, that's what I did too. That's what
and like posted it and everyone's just like, this man is vibing out. And there's bits where he's not playing. And he's just
grooving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a highlight for
God
sure.
God bless him.
I agree. Yeah. Well, what's his name?
Pedro Eustache.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And he makes his own flutes.
He forges his own flute necklace.
Did he really?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Just another quick one when you need in a pinch. Like, he's got one in his boot, too.
It's literally that Anchorman like meme where it's, I'm not prepared. He's
got a flute.
All right, so I think it's probably good to move on to the actual awards.
Yeah.
The winners and losers. Does anything stand out to you guys right off the bat?
I mean, nothing for Spider-Man, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
But
what was that nominated for? Like, action game?
Yuri was nominated.
For Player's Choice as well.
Narrative, I think.
Yeah,
yeah. Quite a few.
Music, maybe?
I think music. Yeah.
But for me, it's not remotely.
And Game of the Year.
Yeah, sure, no. For me, it's not remotely surprising for Spider-Man. Because, it's a really solid game, don't get me wrong.
Mm.
But, we've played big chunks of it before.
Yeah.
And there's so many other new things that we've experienced this year that we really just, so stand out. In any other year, of course, it would have done significantly better. I don't think Mario Wonder got a single.
I was just about to say, I don't think
that is legitimately that is a remarkable video game. It got zero awards. Because I just think the way you size up the categories and then the nominees and whatever, the deck is just stacked against it in 2023.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, yeah.
It's a lot of momentum-based stuff as well. Like, these past few weeks, like the Alan Wake 2 and the Baldur's Gate train has been just on firing, like, on all cylinders.
Yeah, that's true. Because, I mean, Alan Wake 2 won best a game for Time Magazine. And that's like a thing. Taylor Swift, person of the something or other.
Does she need more popping up?
She needs, and you got to buy all three copies of the thing now. All three covers.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna get hate for this. But
don't say anything bad about Taylor, please. We can't sustain it.
Yeah, can't rip all the podcast. Right? Yeah,
I'm a similar age to Taylor, and I'm just like, if I speak like that, and if I start referencing Horcruxes and Gandalf whispering in my ear, you fucking
take
me out.
I saw that. Yeah,
I was like, Ernest Cline, Ready Player One, wrote this. He wrote this.
Yeah,
I know this speech is written by him.
It was just so. God. But Alan Wake getting direction.
Yes.
Art and narrative.
Narrative. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was very happy about that because from the direction side, I was really hoping that it would win because it really felt like from a direction perspective, that there was just, you could feel the fingerprints of those directors on those on that game. And obviously Baldur's Gate is this incredibly, the composition of Baldur's Gate is remarkable, the scale of it, the design, whatever. And obviously direction is paramount in all of that, of course, but there's just this thing with Alan Wake too. That's just, you just feel people involved in it in such a direct way, in the way that is directed. And yeah, I was so pleased.
It feels like an art house movie.
Yes.
And then Baldur's Gate in my mind is like a Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings style thing on the scale where
like
it's like, that's why.
Too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
how it in my mind, like, where you can tell the kind of who's involved in the art house part of it because there's a small crew and but it wasn't. But you know, you feel the input from everyone there.
Sure. Yeah. Yep.
Starfield was nominated for like one
best RPG.
So funny.
The trailer.
Was
the thing that came up on screen. It was like, we wish all games
like, Merry
a
Christmas,
very
everyone.
Good like award ceremony.
It's so funny. Yeah. Yes, thank you for not nominating us for anything. But we wish everybody else
a
happy award show. We're doing fine over here. Thank you very much for asking.
It would be a real shame if those awards went missing.
It was such a weird trailer.
I
don't know why they did that. To be honest, I guess they just want to make people aware that Starfield exists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like anyone watching the Game Awards doesn't already know what Starfield is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that was very weird.
Yeah, but I get like they had Todd in the audience, and I know that was mostly for the Fallout moment.
I mean, I guess.
Like,
yeah, sure.
Todd's like, if I'm coming all this way, put a trailer.
I just read actually a headline today about like the start, like the people who did the mod for Skyrim, like with the co-op Skyrim mod.
Oh yeah,
they just announced that they're like, you know what, Starfield is too shit, and we are abandoning work on this
mod. Wow.
Yeah, they're like, I'm not going to continue working on a game this mediocre.
Wow.
Oh,
so they're
my
like just
God.
Down tools on that mod, and they're just walking off into the sunset.
That is
brutal. So, I mean, obviously, we could talk about Starfield forever, but the fact that it was not represented in this video game in this ceremony is like not at all surprising because, despite its huge reviews, I think the discourse in that game just shifted so hard against it later on.
Yeah. And so many other games that it was just like it got
So
much.
Because what do you put it? Is it the best RPG? Absolutely not. It's in terms of Baldur's Gate. But then is it best action game? No.
Best fighting game?
Narrative
is fighting
game.
I mean, you're fighting against the game.
Best family game, you know? not surprising.
Best ongoing.
Ooh,
let's dig into that one.
So Cyberpunk 2077 won, but it was up against other ongoing games like Apex Legends, Final Fantasy 16, Fortnite, and Genshin.
Yeah.
I guess it's like it's inclusion because in 2020, like was it in 2020 where I know for our game of the year, like, we held a spot, like, we deliberated, we did the list, and then it was like, okay, we have to see how Cyberpunk plays, and, like, we'll hold it a spot, I guess, or just, like, everyone, you know, we might have to revisit our list.
Keep in mind that this is a factor, so
And then I can't remember if they did that for Game Awards. Oh, no, they wouldn't have done, because it was happening, but, like, for 2021, there was just nothing for Cyberpunk at all.
Yeah.
And so, I wonder if this is, like, the not in the make good, but, like, it's a category that it was kind of jammed into because it adds to the redemption story.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, obviously, everyone, like Jeff, for example, didn't put it there. It's kind of just the judges all choose what they put there, right?
Yeah.
So, in obviously, a critical mass of judges decided that this was deserving of the ongoing label.
I wonder what the mindset was, because is it ongoing because of the fixes, or do you count it as like ongoing because it had an expansion and it was good?
Yeah, this is where it's we get into that conversation about like categories, and we can talk about indie game as well with Dave the Diver.
Well, not just that; it's the sim category.
Oh, with like the racing sim one with like
people were
Forza versus FC 24 and all this sort of shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Weird,
sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
I'm genuinely happy for CDPR. Like, it's that game. Seeing Pavel and Gabe up there, and it was like you could tell that award really meant a lot to them. Was it the I still feel weird about the category, though.
I agree. I'm like super happy that they get a moment to recognize the work that they've done. And it's like, because I really do believe Cyberpunk is a magnificent game now. I always believed it was really great, but obviously,
it was fucked, obviously, at launch, clearly.
Yeah. And it's nice that they get a moment where they get to celebrate that. And I think if there was a category of like best game fixed up post launch, sure, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Sure. But like a best ongoing game, I think that's a thing where it's like this game says that we are planning to be a game that is there and being constantly updated and we're building a community over time. And we know what those games are, right? Mm. This is not one of those games. This is a standalone thing that you play and you finish. They're not doing any major updates on it now. They're going to add little things probably because they just had an update just this week actually that added like new motorcycles and whatever, a whole bunch of stuff.
Metro system,
sure.
Hanging out with your
sad Keanu.
Hanging out.
It's got sad Keanu
in there. That's right. All that shit. So it's, but it's not an ongoing game. So as happy as I am to see them get that moment, I also don't think that that's the right category for it.
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't cheapen it for them. It is for them, they can make it work, but it does kind of be like, it kind of feels like, oh, they just made it work for us. And it kind of undermines the spirit of that category for all the others that were nominated in there. It's like, we launched in this way and it was a decent, good game. And then we spent time and effort building upon that. Whereas Cyberpunk launched in a bad state for a lot of people. And then the thing that earned its way into being in that category is fixing it.
Correct.
And then adding like little bit of content.
Correct.
Like, just because it says ongoing game, like doesn't having that be like, oh, we spent ages making this game good.
Hmm.
In a category where others are, this is good, and we added the content to it to make sure that you continue playing and it remains an interesting game for you. Yeah. It's like, no one would ever describe Cyberpunk as a live service game.
No.
But that's effectively what that category is.
Yeah.
Effectively, yeah. I agree. I agree. By the way, did you guys see, because obviously Sean Murray came up. Murray came up and he's like, our most ambitious thing ever. And at that moment, I gasped.
And the room was making some weird noises.
Under my breath, I said, please don't say that.
When he said the first true.
That's how that happened. Well, I was like,
don't Sean. Do that.
Even Jeff was like, wow.
Well, here we go.
cool though.
And so he gets up there and he makes his big promises or whatever else. And then he rolls the trailer. It looks really cool. And then on Twitter, he kind of makes a bit of a joke about the fact that he's like out there promising the world and, you know, like very self-aware kind of tweet or whatever. And then the Cyberpunk, did you guys see this? So the official Cyberpunk Twitter handle then responded to his tweet being like, don't worry, you can fix it later. Like smiley face kind of thing. And it's kind of like,
that's weird.
Like a lot of people are like, that's cool. Funny joke. But at the same time, I'm like, that's not cool. You know what I mean? Like, that's not okay for you to joke about that. Look, you're at the other side of it, sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's okay for you to joke about that at this point.
Especially for them.
Totally.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That Hello Games, like,
that's it. I mean, and they're the two stories. Like, those two games, and obviously Final Fantasy 14 are like the three games that we talk about when it comes to these redemption arcs.
Mm.
But I don't think we're at a point with Cyberpunk where you can make that joke on Twitter.
Yeah.
It comes down to the age old saying, you can just not tweet. You can always just not
tweet.
Yeah. The best time to not tweet is right now.
That's right.
The only other thing top of mind for me is Hi-Fi Rush. I like seeing it get some recognition.
Yeah.
That's
I agree completely.
One of my favorites of the year.
Me too.
So to see it show up was cool.
I also really like the profile they did for Venba.
Yes.
Which is really nice. And like, especially like where they included like people of color or from that culture playing it with their like mum in the background or a parent or some family member or friend. I thought that was really sweet.
It works better than like a trailer.
Yeah.
Because
I
knew of it, but after seeing that, I was like, oh, fuck, I got to play that.
It rules, man. It's like in a couple of hours and it's so good.
Nice. That's nice. Yeah. Also, who was the name? The Japanese...
Ikumi
Nakamura was right.
Yeah. It was really nice seeing her up on stage. It was weird as well because...
But it was weird because it was like, she doesn't have a publisher!
She doesn't have a publisher!
Help her!
That's right.
And I'm like, okay, did she pay for that slot? Like, how does that work? Is that just Jeff helping her out? Or like, what's the deal with that? Yeah. You know what I mean? Because that's like a big deal to get that kind of platform and to be able to do that. Having said that, what she's made looks pretty incredible.
Pretty cool,
from the art design perspective.
Yeah, cool character
wild.
Designs.
It looks like...
There's like an Attack the Block looking guy. Like, he's got like a backwards hat like a sword.
Yes, yeah.
He's cool.
It looks like Ghostwire Tokyo, but like fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, so that'd be cool.
She also has to be the first person to bring a child to the Game Awards.
Yeah.
I saw that. Yeah,
she's like
nice.
Posting videos of her just walking around like the area with her kid, and the kid's just like,
that kid's
going to
be in the game.
Yeah. Totally. No, that's cool. Yeah, nothing else. Any other like
I didn't realize Lightspeed was so big.
Lightspeed.
The ex-rock star, Steven...
I forgot his surname. Steven they made that one with the robot bursting through the
last
port
Sentinel.
To,
or something.
Yeah.
It's going to be an open world.
Oh, I saw that one.
Sci-fi game.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because when they showed up, like the clapping was from their corner.
And there was a lot of them.
Was
there.
A lot. They were we bought everyone.
Wow. I don't know anything about that project.
Yeah, they're a new studio.
Hang on, Lightspeed.
Okay. It was just like, I remember the trailer now, but it just looked like cinematic stuff. And I was like, okay, well, that could be anything.
Yeah. I ran into a few people afterwards that were from that studio.
Okay.
And they were like hype as hell to be there. They were like, we're so glad we can talk about it.
Good for them. That's cool.
Like, cool.
Really, it was just Baldur's Gate cleaning up.
Yeah.
And it was like, I wasn't surprised.
No.
It was like, all right, yeah, cool. Yeah. Like, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lightspeed LA. Because, when they were like, we've got 200 people, I was like, when the hell did that happen?
Right, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't really pay. I hadn't even heard of them, I don't think. So
I only know because like a few people have gone there recently. Like,
okay.
But.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate sweep.
Yep.
As to be expected and totally deserved. I mean, got to be a rough year for Aonuma. I mean, like, you literally somehow managed to top one of the greatest games ever made. And you're like, well, that's my work done. I'll wait for my awards later this year. And then August rolls around. He's like, fuck.
Which one
the D&D nerds have done it.
That's right.
What did Zelda win?
Action Adventure. Yeah.
I was going to say, because we were in the lobby of the hotel. We were meeting some people. And he walked past. And I was like, they've won something.
Yeah, sure. Like, something.
They like someone at Nintendo was told.
Right, I wonder if they do that or not because I've heard that rumor and I wonder if because it's like kind of risky, right? To tell. I guess not. It's not like Nintendo PR are gonna leak.
Like Miyazaki's not gonna.
Yeah, sure, I think they like
being in public, but
I think they make it clear. Where they just like do the it will be worth your while.
I think Nintendo has a pretty good relationship with the Game Awards.
Yeah, exactly.
In general, and so I think that's obviously.
I was sitting like 6 feet from Reggie.
Oh, nice.
I was too scared to say hello.
No
I was like, I don't want to bother the man. No. But,
Long Island zone.
Is he from Long Island? Is he?
Yeah, like, went to school on Long Island.
No way, right.
I'm like,
right.
I'm taking that one.
We were sat next to the Capcom team.
Oh, nice.
And when they were, like, they clearly didn't know when the Monster Hunter trailer was going on.
Right.
Because the poor guy next to me, every time Jeff got on stage, he was like, he's recording it.
Getting ready.
And then he must have had about 10 clips of just 20 seconds when it was clear it wasn't going to be that.
Yeah, right.
Any final thoughts?
Just very glad that Baldur's Gate got what it deserved. It was really
the
nice.
The suit of armor was great.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was beautiful.
As soon as the microphone picked up like the clanking of the arms, I was like, yes, that's so hilarious.
Yeah.
Because we gave him the Game of the Year award before. Yeah. Any the limited mobility on that suit of armor because he tried to put on his sunglasses and he was like
it's like a bad
suit. Moving like RoboCop.
I think this is a good time to take a break.
Yeah,
we got a bunch of other stuff we're gonna do, so we'll see you in a bit. Yeah.
Let's talk about breaking into the games coverage business. A lot of people ask me how to join games media or become a YouTuber, etc. Truth is, there are a lot of paths into this gig. For me personally, I like making videos, so YouTube works. But what if you're all about the written word and want to write for a publication, or maybe even start a publication of your own? Well, if that's the case, then you're going to want to set up your own website, ideally with Squarespace. Squarespace lets you create professional-looking websites in minutes. They have a whole bunch of really customizable templates you can tweak to your own preference, and in no time at all, you can have space online where you can begin writing and publishing your own work. Maybe that site is kind of like a portfolio that an outlet might look at when you're applying for a gig, or maybe you just go independent and do your own coverage your own way. If you're going to do that, then you're definitely going to need to worry about things like SEO, otherwise your work won't appear in search. Luckily, Squarespace provides helpful SEO tools for just that. You're also going to want to know how people find your website and what people are doing when they get to it. That's why Squarespace has detailed analytics tools allowing you to track all that stuff and more. Since 2003, Squarespace has been helping people turn their dreams into reality. So if there's a passion that you'd like to make a career, then check out Squarespace for free by visiting squarespace.com. And when you're ready to get serious, use offer code SKILLUP at checkout for 10% off your purchase of a domain name. Thanks Squarespace for sponsoring the video, and thank you for watching it.
What's on your shirt? I've been like staring
it's
the whole time.
Evangelion.
Trying to figure it out. Oh, okay, that's what I thought it was.
Shit.
Okay, cool.
That's cool. A series that I have not seen in like a long time.
Oh, okay, right. I was gonna say I've not seen it, but I'm wearing the shirt.
No, I have seen it. Okay. No, but my friend Jen texted me and she was like, "Do you like evangelism?"
Oh no, it's happened to one of my friends. Oh fuck.
She was watching that Mother of God documentary and she was like, "I'm worried about you."
And we're back.
I reckon we just keep going now. Yeah, that's we're back. We're back already.
We're back.
And
here we are.
The next thing actually is an interview, excuse me, with Rebecca Ford and Megan Everett of Digital Extremes. So I've known these guys for years, like met them years ago, when I was playing a lot more Warframe. There's a funny clip, which we're going to show you at some point in the episode when we met a little while back. But they're really fantastic and really genuinely are trailblazers in the world of community management. Yeah. They were doing stuff before anybody else when it came to community management, the scale they were operating at and whatever. Megan is now head of community because that was Reb before, and Reb has become the creative director of Warframe.
That's
one
so
of the very few
sick.
Times where you see someone make the jump from community to like game lead. You know, that's huge.
Super well deserved.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they had some big announcements at the Game Awards. Mm-hmm. And they've got Ben Starr, mm-hmm. and they've got Neil, I always forget his last name, Newborn, as voice in their upcoming thing. That's that they've cool. got. They've got lots of rad stuff going. Plus, they've also got Soulframe, which is the next thing that studio is working on. So, a lot of cool stuff to talk about, and we talk about it right now.
Yeah.
Can I just say, we've never had a podcast begin with one of those
clapper?
Things. One of is that what it's called?
There could be a better name.
There's
but
probably
I'm
a more appropriate
you know,
name.
I don't know. A take board? A clapper?
Clapper.
It's not a take board. It probably is a take board. Actually,
it might be a take board.
I'm like laughing. I'm like, what a ridiculous name. It's a take board.
I don't know. I think it's pretty good.
But hello and welcome.
Hi.
It's really amazing to see you guys. It's been how long now?
We reckon 5 years.
I think it was, the last time we were in a room together was 5 years ago in London?
I think it was for the Nintendo Switch preview event. But then we also thought it might have been PAX November. So it was, I think those things happened in the same year.
I thought Australia was the last time we saw you.
It probably was actually. Yeah, that's right. And if anyone doesn't remember that, we did an interview together.
Huh, did we?
And yes. And we can play some of the clip now for those who haven't seen it before. Insert just please, clip. Enjoy.
Shit, ladies and gentlemen, this is it. The live Vegemite tasting. Welcome to Australia, ladies.
I'm not
so good
back.
To have you here. Ready?
Okay, do it.
You can't be off camera for reactions. That's what people came for.
Still my
Discord profile is me gagging.
I know, actually. I know that. I see you there because you're at the very top of my Discord because you have like a parenthesis as your name.
Yes.
And I always see it and it's still there. Every time I see it, I'm like,
I get so many questions. They're like, A, why? And B, what is happening to you? And I'm like, it's Vegemite.
I tell everybody that's some of my favorite content that I've ever made.
It was a good moment for me.
It was.
It was the only talk I've done that a biohazard was a result. Like, hazardous bio waste was produced.
I just love, like, if you watch it, we're so oblivious to what is actually happening. No,
we are acutely aware because every time she retches again, we spasm with laughter. Like, we know exactly what's going on.
I didn't know she was actually...
Oh, really?
I didn't know. I thought she was just gagging into a sink. And I was just like, she's fine. And we're on the couch trying to just compose ourselves. I couldn't even talk.
It was great. Yeah. But,
Thanks for the good time. Yeah. Glad to be back.
Core memory.
That's right. Yeah. But and before that, I think, I was in London and I got snowed in. And I had to be driven by Drew.
We think it's Drew.
I'm 90% sure it was Drew.
Yeah, so another guy, Dean, had to drive me because, like, transport was down. And so he's like, don't worry, man, I'll just drive you to the airport. I'm like, I don't know, man.
We love Drew.
And then he's like, just get in my pickup truck. I'm like, all right. And then, like, as an Australian driving through this blizzard and the road is so iced, and every time we would do turns, the car would do these ones, like, whoosh, 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 and I would, like, be holding on for dear life. And he's like, don't worry, man, it's fine.
Perhaps that's my revenge for the vomiting.
That must have been,
a weather-induced panic attack versus...
But, beautiful London. It was fantastic. I loved
it. Almost died, but
But it is really amazing to see you guys after so long. Yeah. And, you know, obviously you guys have both been on such massive journeys since that time. You are in very...
You too.
Well, yes. I'm still doing the same thing. But
just
you
better.
Guys, well, I don't know. Not everyone agrees. But still doing the same thing. But you guys are now in different roles. You know, there's been some movement at DE over the years. And so, Megan, you are now head of
community director in Live Ops. So, took Reb's job.
She took my job. She took my job. The young ones, they come for us.
Definitely.
Yes. Give it to me.
And what was it like making that jump up to from, like, because you were like manager and then now you're lead?
Yeah. So, I was at that time, I think, senior community manager. And then Reb was community director in Live Ops. And when it was all kind of happening and Reb gave me the choice,
opt in to the email marketing.
Like, you don't have to, but you know, you would be my choice. Mm. And I was like, well, I'm flattered. And then I took some time to think about it, but I was like, it was a no brainer for me to do it because I love this game. I love this company. I love our team. I love what Reb has built for the community. Like, she's been community day one, literally. And then I came in day two. or person two, I guess. And then, so it's been Reb and I in this community team from the get-go. So I've seen it grow. And I was just like, I love this team. And I know I can continue what Reb has built. Mm. And that was kind of my way of thinking going forward was I didn't want to rock the boat too much. I wasn't going to become community director and be like, all right,
sure,
we're flipping this.
Now that Reb's out.
Yeah.
Clean shop.
I didn't want to go crazy. So I wanted to just kind of maintain the status quo. I wanted to get myself comfortable with the role because there are a lot of things that I knew Reb did, you know, responsibility wise, but never saw it because it just wasn't my role to see the things that go on behind the scenes. And then when I was, you know, given the opportunity to look behind the curtain, I was like, damn. I was like, how did you ever do any work in an actual work day? So that's been fun to navigate, is trying to, you know, learn to delegate a bit better because, you know, like I said, we have an incredible team and I trust them 100%. So it was a lot of, you know, looking at, not because I wanted to take on all the responsibility. I'm like, yes, this is my role now. I'll do everything. And I was like, no, I need to actually, like, delegate to my team, give them time to shine and let them get into it. Because there was also roles within the community team itself because, you know, Danny became senior community manager.
Sure.
So there were shifts that, you know, kind of incrementally happened to support the bigger shift that happened. So it was a lot of movement all in 1 year. And it was, as we know, kind of the conversations were happening in the early year. And we kept it quiet until TennoCon.
Yeah, we kept it a secret. Right. January 2022, the last day. it was like, all right, February 1st, all the changes are happening, internal only, no one say anything.
Right, interesting.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so for, and then TennoCon was late July.
Okay, right. Yeah. Wow, that's a long time to keep it on the DL.
Yeah.
And that was just to smooth things out internally, make sure you felt really comfortable. And is that?
Yeah, I think I'm very grateful we did it that way because it gave us an opportunity to fail under the pretenses that nothing had changed. So if things weren't going well, it was Steve's fault. Yeah, he can take it. So we're like, Steve, stop screwing up. But really it was me. And I was like, oh no. Right. But yeah, so it was I was very pleased that that generosity and, you know, it felt weird keeping it secret, but it was much better in the gaming sphere, I think, to not hand it off without try before you buy.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I'm really interested because, I mean, I have a personal view on this with relation to community management. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I was, you know, watching you guys back in like the day 2018, 2017, and it was very clear to me back then that you were real sort of like trailblazers when it came to community management model. No one else was doing what you were doing at your scale at that point in time, right? And I wonder what you think at this point, how is the industry not necessarily responded to that, but clearly there's a lot more push on community side now. Mm-hmm. And what are your overall thoughts on how community management has evolved over the last 5 years?
Yeah. I feel like we're such an enigma. Like the fact that we're still alive 10 years later,
alive as people.
We might not make it out of this room.
That's right.
I don't know. No, I think I love seeing other games experiment with community or even, you know, adopt maybe stuff that we've done. Like I've had people reach out to me and ask for like tips or just want to like pick our brain on our live streams or our community work, our creator program and stuff like that. And I think it's great. Like I'm all about like sharing the knowledge and supporting each other because it's a vicious world out there in the video game industry.
That's why we're in here, in this room. It's safe.
That's why we're safe in here.
For now.
We're safe in here. So yeah, seeing other game companies, you know, try to be very community forward, I think is a great thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you can go wrong with that because even if your game isn't a live service game, if it's, you know, a pay game or whatever it is, having a positive, supportive community will never do you wrong.
Mm.
Like if you put the effort into appreciating your community, listening to your community, you know, being very transparent with them to a certain degree.
Sure.
You don't want to
You should lie to them for 4 months about what your job is.
You don't want to see all how the sausage is made. You know, sometimes you just want the meal and not the how it's made. But no, I think it's a great thing. And I hope that people appreciate their community and the support that they can get from that. And I think we can only grow positively if we share information with each other. There's literally no point in hoarding our knowledge of, you know, what makes or how we got our community to the place they are over 10 years. So I'm an open book, really.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And also, one thing you guys were telling me is that you have QA embedded in community now.
Yeah.
That's wild. Never heard of that before.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
I mean, because we're such a live service game, and I think we've changed over the years of, like, I remember the days where we were updating and hotfixing, like, every week, sometimes on a Friday.
That was before we had four platforms that needed parity
of
for
course,
crossplay.
Of course, this was a different time.
Yeah.
But when you're such a fast-paced game, development-wise, update-wise, hotfix-wise, you know, there's people who look at the live build and how that's performing. Mm-hmm. And then there's, of course, people that are looking ahead to the major updates and the things that are coming. And as a community team, when we're looking at the live build and, you know, things that are broken or things that need fixed, it's such a blessing to have someone that's in the community team that's community minded that can spot those issues that are like, that's a huge community issue. And it might not look like that to, you know, the programmer that's going to fix it, but we know that we can escalate that appropriately and get that fixed. So having that community, we call them the chimeras because they got four of them.
More now, I think.
Five, yeah.
Yeah, five.
There's five now. So we call them the chimeras.
Right.
And they've also grown themselves to also do some design decisions as well.
Yeah.
Again, community minded, but also QA minded.
Mm.
And it's a really fun hybrid, and they are a true blessing to the community team. And I don't think our, you know, stuff that we've done over the years would have been as polished as they could be without them really, you know, tracking those issues, pushing those issues, letting us know when, as we're working on updates, they're like, hey guys, like this is a major fire that the community is either going to like or hate. And like, they kind of give us that perspective because they're so ingrained in the build. They can look at, you know, crafting costs and stuff like that. And they're like, great, but community-wise, not great.
Yeah, like, you guys might not remember, we changed where that resource came from 3 years ago, and we're like, of course we did. Hmm. So, yeah. No, just,
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, a lot of the changes within the team, we just spoke about then. Hello. Oh, the door is opening.
No, it was ignore him because he's checking to make sure. He said ignore him.
Ignore me, and I just ruined it.
The illusion.
The one ask was ignore, and you have
A lot of the changes within the team, obviously, are as a result of some movement at the top. Mm-hmm. And the movement at the top was that you left the community team.
I did.
And then you became...
ghosted us.
I ghosted them.
You became the... What's the official title?
Creative director
of Warframe.
Yeah.
So that is crazy.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's funny. The only other time I've ever heard of someone going from community to creative director... is Yannick Bonchereau from The Division, another life service game that I also covered quite deeply, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's a very unusual move to make. Tell us how that happened. Like, what was that like? What was the first moment where that was on the table? Like, how did that happen?
It was the weirdest day of my life.
Sure.
I'm trying to like set the table in a way that speaks to the facts, but also my like interpretation of the facts, because I really did freak out and I didn't know if I wanted to do it. So we knew that as Warframe was entering its ninth year, I guess last year, we wanted to start a second game. Like we thought if we needed to grow, we should make a second game. Why not? Right. And they were like the guys, so you know the Jeffs and the Steves, and, Scotts and Sheldons were like, "What are?" I say plural, but there's only one of each of them.
The sleeps.
They were really kind of thinking, "Who's gonna take Warframe? Like, if we all go and do something else, who can take Warframe?" And then they kind of really start. I think at first, and I might. I don't think I'll get in trouble for this, but because I don't know if you've said it publicly, but it was offered to someone else first that turned it down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if we've ever said that, but that's fine. And it's, you know, that's someone else's story to tell. So I won't tell it. But then they were like, okay, well, then they kind of jokingly said, well, what if there was an amazing woman that knew everything about Warframe and has kept us going? And I honestly didn't realize they were talking. Like, I thought they were just kind of pulling my leg, and
you're like, who is that? Yeah. I want to meet her.
Yeah, who is she? And they were like, and then they just kind of, they literally just did a winky emoji on Slack, and I said, are you guys serious?
Sure.
And I was like, okay, I'll think about it. And then I thought about it, and I called up my therapist, and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. This is too much pressure. And you know, at the end of the day, I did it. And so that was late January 2022, and here I am almost 2 years later exactly still doing it. So January of next year, it will have been 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is it, in terms of, you know, we were talking about, like, you're like, oh, shit, when I get there, I'm like, fuck, how did everyone do this job, you know? Mm-hmm. Was it like that for you as well? Like,
Oh, my God. Yes. I've tried to remain a jack of all trades the best I could when I started in community at DE. I really wanted to make sure I understood the craft, the craftspeople, the process, and lucky when we first started, we were making it up as we went along. So everyone was learning the same stuff at the same time. Mm. Yes, we had experts in their field, you know, art, programming, tech, sound. Everyone brought their skill to the table. And then I could kind of just see how Steve would kind of wave his baton to get everyone, you know, on a 4-4 tempo or something. And I said, okay. So I would see how he operated. And sometimes you just gotta do what you saw be done successfully, but with your own way. And I just, the first time I acknowledged, you know, the leads that were coming to me for creative direction and what the plans were and how we're going to hit this update and what its goal is thematically, who this character is, I truly just felt that I'm just the conductor. All I have is a baton. You are best in class musicians, best in class craftspeople. Can we do this? We would deliberate and make a plan and go. And I just have kept doing that, you know, rhythm by rhythm, step by step, trying to sort of scrub away the things I felt were like maybe not working for us. I'm not as technically brilliant as Steve by any means. So, you know, I'm not going to spend my Sunday making a prototype for Railjack, but I will spend my Sunday saying, like, okay, this is exactly how this other plan could work. And, you know, look at every, I'm not as technical as him.
Sure.
And while that is, you know, what you'd expect from a game developer, I just have a very different way of working with Warframe because I know it so well.
Sure.
So, yeah, now.
But I also, like, I know many of the game designers I speak to aren't necessarily, like, technical.
Yeah, but you get so insecure about that, I think, especially as a woman. I'm like, okay. And I have tried to learn. Like, we have our own proprietary engine, right? Like, the Evolution engine is our tech. So I can just go in and just, you know, F around in there. And and it feels great to learn the tools. Just kind of, and I don't really do a lot in there other than look at the tools that people are using so I know if I have a realistic ask or if I can get someone on the tools team to kind of explain to me. Yeah, like there's this one bug that was driving me crazy in Warframe forever. And yeah, and I was like, how do we fix this specific thing? Because, and then, you know, we got this, it's going to be fixed probably in the next year. It's like about like collision on a certain corner. It just drives me crazy.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And I'm like, I can't fix this. But every time in our movement-based game, if I clip a piece of geometry at like a slightly parallel angle to it, it stops your momentum, but the running animation still plays. And I'm like, how do we?
I see.
It just drives me nuts. So now they're, yeah, so that's what I bring to the table. Nice. Fixing movement bugs, but not doing any of the work.
Sure.
And making someone say, well, we have to go like 7 years back in this code. And I'm like, oh, sorry, I asked.
Move on. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
And so when you stepped in, like, at a high level, how is Warframe doing? Like, and when you stepped in, when you looked at it, you're like, okay, well, here's what our game is and here's where it needs to go. So, like, how's Warframe been these last few years?
That is a great question because it's been all over the place. Because December 2021, I'll paint the picture, the new war releases. Mm. This is our cinematic quest that many people felt was the, you know, the end game of Warframe in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. People, we've been promoting, developing, and working towards this story beat for 7 years.
Yeah, I remember.
Yes.
Yeah, back then.
Yeah, so the new war comes out, and then it's kind of our biggest cinematic update ever. And then January hits, and like everyone said goodbye. They're like, okay, I'm done with Warframe.
Really?
Like, thanks.
Interesting.
Like, and then we were like, okay, are we going to treat this as maintenance mode? Hell no, obviously.
Sure.
So we started on very shaky legs getting the next story bit going. So we did an update in April of 2022, so 4 months after the new war ended, trying to keep everything going. It did okay. Like, I'm very proud of it still. I think it's some of the best gameplay content, but, you know, I put too much in it, and it was a little bit shaky on launch, totally my fault. And then from there, things started getting a little we were kind of getting in our groove. We have a backlog of checks, I should say, that we had to cash. The prior team had teased the Duviri paradox in 2019. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to ship something. Like, what was our version of the Duviri paradox? So we took everything that we had and we kind of made it our own, an open world roguelite mode, because I love roguelites. I think when you were like Hades 2 something, no, Hades. Sure. Yeah. So we did that. It got delayed a bit because we, again, bit off more than we could chew. But it came out this year and that was great for us. Mm. And then, yeah, we just did a huge. So now it's kind of a very peculiar, how is Warframe doing long answer, which is it's actually doing great right now.
Right. Okay.
I think we've really gotten into something we're comfortable with. Mm. You know, our TennoCon this year was all like from scratch, as we say, where we have no checks to cash from the past team. So everything we showed from the weird Eldritch and Trotty labs to the 1999, what the hell? That's all like,
totally.
You're on my train now, kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's so interesting that you say that about like the whole, you know, people say, oh, new war, it's time to step off, I'm done. Because I feel like obviously Destiny is a comparative. That's sort of about to go through something similar.
The
final shape is coming. And I think a lot of people are looking at that and thinking, okay, that's me. I'm done. What would you say to Bungie or to the Destiny community in terms of approaching that moment?
That moment. Yeah. If you call something the final shape.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we at least could have, like, we called it the new war. Maybe it sounded like there was a new war coming. Sure. But
so how would you think that, like, again, it's not necessarily Bungie, but any game that is just trying to make sure that it sets up its next phase. Like, what advice would you give to live service games that are looking to do that and keep players invested in that longer term arc?
I've actually become allergic to roadmaps. So I know, I think we were in a roadmap Halcyon days many years ago before every game was doing the live service thing. Like where roadmaps were, you know.
We had a whiteboard.
We had a whiteboard.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a whiteboard. And I am very anti-roadmap. I think I think it's bad for communities because, yeah, I'm a certified roadmap hater.
Really?
Yeah. A, none of us are making roads. Do something cooler. Call it a take board. I don't know. No, I really don't like roadmaps. I don't think that they are healthy in a weird way. It's like you're prescribing a nutritious diet for your community, and I just don't like them. And it's difficult to articulate why. I think it's too like a live service game. Oh, this is going to be a hard one to articulate because I'm very angry about roadmaps for reasons that are not coming out at all as words. Sure. Maybe it's because the Game Awards was last night and I'm not. Sure. But I love live service games, but I also just love games. And I think when you try and prescribe the live service roadmap, you take away some of the fun that you're always, like everyone knows you're always going to be doing something. Sure. Otherwise, you're not a live service game.
Yeah.
And I get wanting, and I used to love roadmaps. I've asked for assets of roadmaps and I just started to really not like them because it becomes transactional. It's like creative transaction where you're giving people something to look forward to. Cool. But like even last night, like, so you see Final Fantasy 16, they're doing, you know, their DLC things. Yeah. Like, that's not a roadmap. That's a DLC announcement. Sure. But a live service game would have done that exact thing as a roadmap.
Mm.
So what's, like...
I get you.
I don't know if I get myself. I'll get there.
Yeah,
and it can become your downfall, right?
Like, it can.
If you don't I've definitely seen that a lot, and it's for like, sure. And it's by no one's fault. It's just the way development goes. Like, no one's perfect. And if we put out a roadmap of the entire year and something falters... You're screwed.
Yeah. Right? I like road mapping like one thing at a time that you can already show how to play it. Like, and I think that's a little, because I think roadmaps are live service devs competing with other live service devs to say, like, no, we are working on things. Like, look what's coming. And it's like, it's just, I feel bad for devs when they do it. I felt bad when we did it.
Yeah.
I get if people love them. I'm not trying to convert anyone.
Sure.
I think that generally, yeah, I don't really know.
I get you. It makes sense.
I remember for like when we were doing dev streams a lot, much more than
we used to do like two
every
a month.
Other week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we kind of got caught in we would show things and then those things obviously wouldn't launch for years.
Mm-hmm.
We would show a deluxe skin and they wouldn't see that deluxe skin for years.
Yeah.
And we kind of looked at that and was like, okay, we can't do that anymore. Like, what we show them needs to ship within the next few months ahead. And because then we really had a backlog.
Yeah, exactly. And I think actually you were talking about transparency earlier. And I think it's important to be transparent. But a roadmap isn't transparency to me.
No.
A roadmap, it's clinical and it's... cool. Like, yeah, I know. I feel real bad now. I need to like do a redemption arc. They're not transparent.
If it works, it works. Yeah. And I think it's really hard as a live service game.
Yeah.
Like that is almost near impossible. Yeah. You want to get them excited. You want to be like, this is your year. This is what you're going to get in a year.
Yeah. You know who I make roadmaps for? The parent company. Like that's the target audience for a roadmap.
Right.
What I want to do with the players and the people that love Warframe as much as me is talk to them and like get just give them the next little thing, give some flavor and say, of course we're working on the next thing or we're working on what you're playing, but let's go there together.
Yeah. And I think instinctively, I think you definitely see a lot of hostility to the idea of roadmaps online anyway.
Oh,
like people don't like
great.
You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. You knew this the whole time. You were
saying. No, I mean, I think, but I think the way I think we see developers use them and we think, okay, well, developers must like them because they provide some structure to the way they work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you read about like responses to roadmaps on Twitter or Reddit or whatever, most people kind of roll their eyes. It's like, they've
more
got
like
a roadmap.
More like roll map,
or it's like, whatever, you know?
What did you say? I said more like roll map.
Oh, man.
We have
an internal roadmap.
Of course. You're not just like, whoa, what are we doing today, guys?
Yeah.
Should we fix some bugs? Nah, let's make something new, you know?
Of course, we have it down to a T of like when we hope to have a code lock, when we hope. Sure. Like we have.
Yeah. But maybe Marvel did this with their phases of Marvel. That was a roadmap.
A roadmap and it's not going super well.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I mean, like, for example, Marvel Snap, I know, is another live service game that I play personally. They have a roadmap, quite high level. And it's like, it's neither here nor there because it's not like you become super invested in that thing. You're like, oh, I must have that exact thing that they promised when they promised it. But it's just kind of there. But simultaneously, if it wasn't there, you're like, okay, cool. Doesn't matter. You know, like as long as you trust the people that are making the game that you like and you trust that they're doing it well, then it's kind of not really required. I get you.
Yeah.
I get you.
I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It is entirely possible that there's a, you know, a business reason for them of like, oh, sure. invest in this company. Look at
that.
I
yeah.
No
that
idea.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Like there's reasons. I just find them, yeah, I'm not going to talk. I'm done. I am on. There is
definitely
a hiatus of roadmap.
Well, then let's talk the future. Because, I mean, you guys just had some like massive announcements. You're up on stage at the Game Awards.
Yeah!
That was very, excuse me.
he's lost for words over
right.
there.
Fantastic to see you both up there. So in case anyone missed it, did you want to rehash the announcement now? Like what all the announcements?
Yeah. So we were there to reveal the release date for our next update, Whispers in the Walls.
Which right. is next
which
week.
Which is next week on or, December 13th.
Well, yeah, I guess. Wait. I don't know when this is going live. Yeah.
It'll go live this weekend. So,
Okay, so December 13th, Wednesday, Whispers in the Walls is coming out. And we had a really... ASMR, here we go.
Perfect.
Yeah, we had a really exciting week because we also got to announce some voice actor news as well.
Yeah.
So Neil Newbon is going to voice a fish. Right. Cool fish.
A talking fish.
So just to be clear... anyone doesn't know Neil Newbon? What did he?
Asterion
from
Bill's Reb's boyfriend.
No, he broke up with
everyone's
me.
Boyfriend.
He broke up with
everyone's.
Me. He broke up
well,
with me.
What do you say?
Yeah. So the voice of Asterion, Neil Newbon, is going to voice Fibonacci. He's okay.
a fish.
In
right?
Whispers in the Walls.
Nice.
And then Ben Starr, who's the voice of Clive. And Final Fantasy is going to be voicing Arthur, who, if you watch the ChannelCon announcement, it's more of the Warframe 1999 segment where we see the, you know, hot human Excalibur.
Get the hot
subway.
In there.
He's a hunk.
But
he's
why
a hunk.
Didn't you say hot fish? I'm a little
upset. I think I said sexy gonna
be
fish.
Upset.
Did you say
did you?
Sexy fish.
I'm going to roll that back.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay?
I think we would have reacted to sexy fish.
Sorry. He's a sexy amphibian. Sure. Wait, are fish amphibians?
Oh, Megan.
No, I think fish are fish.
Fish are friends, not food.
Car fish amphibians.
Cut
no,
that.
No.
That's
kidding.
Staying in.
I'm fine. It's fine. Anyway, so it was exciting to announce them and like they came to. We had a little press event and we got to hang out with them and they were there and like talked to press. So they're just some of the nicest people I've ever met. And so that was really fun to announce that. And then we were up on stage just being girl bosses and announcing that and just. Again, being really thankful for our community for being there.
10 years this year.
Yeah,
ten years.
Wild.
A decade, like my entire adult life.
That is
Warframe.
Wild.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So just coming back to Neil and Ben, how did this happen? Like,
Reb?
Tell us, how did you land these two gentlemen? We would basically two of the best voice actors of the year are now going to be voicing
in
characters
in the same
Correct.
Update.
How did
too.
That happen? How did it happen?
You know, sometimes you just thank the universe for doing its thing, and I just ride. I'm along for the ride.
Right.
I will be lucky over good any day.
Sure.
And if things happen for reasons that I can't explain, then I just go with them. It's just, I think TennoCon really caught a lot of eyeballs this year with some of the, you know, wild things we're doing. And, you know, people talk and people get connected. And next thing I knew, I was like, oh.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I knew I wanted a talking fish. I had I have a whiteboard in my office. And when we're doing the launch live stream, I'll show it. I have like talking animals as like a key thing I wanted to do this year. And when TennoCon happened, Steve kind of really ribbed me on stage that, you know,
Asterion dumped you.
That Asterion dumped me.
Sure,
so, yeah. And I, you know, and someone had reached out. Then that happened. And then at a Final Fantasy convention, there's a Warframe creator. Is Miabyte still a creator? Yeah, of course. And Miabyte and Ben connected and, introduced me.
Wow.
And then. Yeah, right again. And I was just finishing like casting sheets and we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do with Arthur. Did we want him to be more of like more posh or more like through a meat grinder? And then I was like, oh, we should go meat grinder.
Right,
and then all of a sudden, Ben and I connected and I was like, meat grinder, go. So
and he would nail that, I think.
Yeah.
He's definitely got good meat grinder vibes.
Yeah. Oh, definitely the grindiest of meat grinders
that's right.
for sure. Yeah.
And so that update is coming.
So Whispers in the Walls.
Whispers in the Walls is next week.
Is next week.
And 1999 is
next year. So next year. We just actually announced the TennoCon dates for next year as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So the TennoCon event next year is July 19th and 20th, and we will be using that event to really go all in on 1999 and show people what that update is, and then it'll release next year.
Yep. So 1999, just in case anyone doesn't know, is kind of like Warframe, except instead of like crazy sci-fi shit, you're walking around with like AK-47s.
Your version of it.
And then instead of being in like a spaceship or whatever, you're in a subway or whatever. So it's like back in time, 1999.
It's our answer to the, well, I mean, I won't spoil the quest, but we do explain it in this update.
Okay.
So
okay.
We're using this update as sort of chapter one of the next cinematic arc. So
interesting,
yeah.
Interesting.
So this update that comes out next week is, like I had mentioned, like, oh, a lot of people felt the new war was the end of Warframe. This is now the beginning of the future of Warframe.
Sure,
we have an hour cinematic quest in this update where you will see 1999 and you'll see Raison for everything that's going to happen.
Okay.
So. What was that
actually?
I was going to say raison d'être.
Oh, you should have gotten there.
I was actually talking about raisins. Passionate about dehydrated.
So obviously Warframe is not the only game that you guys have under your banner. Mm-hmm. And I guess I want to talk a little bit about Soulframe, but also want to talk about some stuff that happened at D recently, because you guys were publishing games for a time.
For 8 years.
Yeah. And so that, my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong in any of this, but that sort of publishing label slash effort has been collapsed. And obviously people associated with that were let go, layoffs. Yep. Did I get any of that detail wrong?
No, that's correct.
Okay, yeah, cool. So yeah, just wanted to kind of like maybe talk through that for a moment. Obviously layoffs is a huge thing that's affected a huge massive portion of the industry.
I never thought I would be doing an interview where DE and layoffs were in the same sentence again. It's been the worst. Like we're sitting here smiling promoting our update, but okay. Yeah, we're part of it and it sucks and it's awful.
So that was just the publishing division.
Yes.
And because you guys did over the years, there was Survive?
There was Survive by, Sword Coast, Legends.
Yes.
Amazing Eternal.
That was an internal.
Internal, but like that kind of kicked off the...
Yeah, I was playing the beta and stuff. Yeah.
We've had about 5 or 6 things.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then most recently Wayfinder.
Yes.
Right.
Which is still going. Like Airship is still working on that one. It's just our publishing. We've given it the publishing and everything over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And I mean, I think a lot of people expected something at the Game Awards on it. You know, we were on stage and we could have said something, but that wasn't our place. And it's awful. It's, everyone's getting pinched real tight, you know, from things I've heard and from people I've talked to. It's, you know, it's where can you, you know, cut spending? How can you tighten the belts and everything? Yeah. So, and we know why that is. There's probably... And I'm not an economist, so I won't even use the R word other than raisin. But it's hard.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, you guys are obviously still planning to do other things with the studio, though. And we mentioned Soulframe a moment ago.
Yeah.
And so wanted to talk about that very briefly.
Mm-hmm.
When did the idea for Soulframe begin? What was the journey for that? Like, how'd that go?
Would have been 2020?
That far before New War?
I think like the idea of it.
Yeah, I think doing a fantasy game had always been a thing the team has wanted to do. Yeah. You know, as it was never a matter of if we'll do a fantasy game, it was when.
Right.
So like Warframe being the sci-fi item in the portfolio and then something fantasy. Mm-hmm. So that had always been a piece of what everyone wanted to do. And I think it always starts with concept art and a pitch. Like who's going to draw a character that sort of everything hinges on and then, you know... they just took it away and they just started going with it, building this world, getting it going. And then, we're going to do the exact same Warframe way. We're going to have a very small private launch test.
Yeah, they're having a pre-alpha.
Like this
very
year.
Very soon.
Really? Okay.
In December. Yeah. They're,
maybe. We'll see. Probably.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. They're going to invite some of the envoys in, the people who have kind of claimed their envoy title, and we have, you know, a little Discord set up. So it'll be very small, but we want to grow it just as we did Warframe and get the hands-on in there early and just get, you know, very, very blunt feedback. Like, be honest, tell us how it makes you feel, how it works, the combat system. They'll be able to play that. And then, yeah, hopefully TennoCon next year is we'll have some a lot more to share.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, at a high level though, would you say that Soulframe is Warframe with a different setting, or is it
slower?
Is it hitting different things?
Something clicked in my brain when I heard, I think it was Steve at TennoCon this year when we were talking to press about Soulframe, and he described it as like Disney Princess, and I was like, Princess Mononoke, those kind of vibes. Yeah, sure. I was like, wow, like something just clicked in my brain, and I was like, that's how I've been trying to describe it.
Yeah,
have that fantasy, you know. It's not a Disney Princess game. Don't get me wrong. Sorry, Disney. But yeah, that
Walter.
Just kind of that vibe. Like it's meant to be. Not that Warframe's dark, but like it's a very
Warframe's pretty dark. I think
you got a weird twisted mind. I created.
Yeah,
character.
I think it's a bit dark. Warframe.
It's a bit dark. Sure.
Yeah.
And not to say Soulframe doesn't have some, you know, dark vibes to it, but it's very much the
opposite.
It's
intentionally not grimdark fantasy. Yeah. Okay. It's redemption of humans, nature. Yeah. It's very much a love letter to healing, and that is the core theme of it. And it gameplay wise, it's nothing like Warframe. There's no fantasy bullet jumping.
Yeah, fair enough. That makes sense.
Yeah,
the combat does look pretty cool though. That extended trailer that we saw looked really great.
Yeah,
really excited about that. But the art design in particular like really popped off.
Oh, Keith,
you just kind of just like wow. You just want to be in that world. You want to see more of it and. It's really, it was really, really amazing. Yeah. So,
hell yeah.
Very excited for that. But yeah, like honestly, really amazing to see you guys personally, but also really fantastic to watch the way that the studio has developed, the way that Warframe continues to grow, the way that it has this incredible staying power. I mean, a whole bunch of my mates have just gone back to play Warframe recently and just because like they're just loving it. And I mean, like you just see it. It's just, it has this very consistent staying power that people want to keep coming back to. And it's very rare that a game can achieve that sort of thing.
We will never take it for granted. And for as long as they let us, we will work on it. That is for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. It is my life's mission to serve
Warframe.
Well,
I know, like, you kind of already have the next, like, 5 to 10 years planned.
I do. I have my five. Maybe that's why I hate roadmaps so much.
I hate roadmaps, but I have a 5 to 10 year roadmap. Let me tell you about it.
I can't because I feel like it's a cursed object. It's like this devil's bargain of a roadmap that I have to now execute, and I don't want to show anyone it because then it will fall apart into dust. It's like my Dorian Gray Warframe.
That's right. Up in the attic. Yeah, cool. Well, I'm sure you guys will crush it.
Thank you.
It's always fantastic what you guys achieve. And so really lovely to see you. Thank you so much for taking the time. Yeah, it's been really great.
Thanks for not bringing Vegemite.
No, that's right. Next time. We talk about maybe go to Japan next
year. Let's do it. Right.
And we'll bring some Vegemite.
I hate it.
But yeah, no, thank you again for your time.
Thanks.
And let's obviously catch up again in the future.
Yeah.
Cool.
Always down for a good chat.
Good Ralph chat.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
See you guys.
Cheers.
Bye.
Hey, so this podcast is brought to you by AG1. We're all traveling right now. We're in a different place, and thankfully, we can bring that green stuff with us.
Got little travel pouches, little like travel kit things. Mm-hmm. So I like those. I've been using AG1 since they sent it to me from like a few months back, and I actually really like it. It's kind of just part of my routine now. I like the taste. It was one of these things where I saw this green scary liquid, and I've been handed green scary liquids before by my vegan brother, and he's like, drink this. I'm like, hell no. I learned my lesson long ago, but I took a crack with AG1, and it actually tastes pretty good, and it's just a nice way to start the day because I know that I'm giving myself like good, proper, I don't know, green nutrition when I don't eat enough green stuff.
Exactly.
So, like, and especially with my gamer lifestyle, it's nice to know that I've done at least one good thing for my body
Just one thing.
The vitamin replacement. Like, so I used to take a multivitamin, and that's boring. I'd rather drink a cool drink, like a green drink. So that's what I've been doing. You feel a little better. Yeah. It's good for your digestive.
Yep.
I don't know how to say that.
Gut health. Yeah. It's good for all that, for sure.
I've been traveling a lot recently. Like before, obviously we came to LA. I went to the UK, Amsterdam, and just having AG1 there was like, I feel like I'm just taking care of myself.
Sure.
I was really not taking care of myself the rest of the time. I'll tell you that for free.
The town famous for like going to bed early and not drinking, of course. Yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
So it's got you covered. It's nice.
Does. has a nice little bottle thing they gave us as well. Oh, they have a nice little canister that like you can keep in the fridge.
I know, it's super premium.
It is very premium. They're like
it's good.
Kitchen.
If you want to like impress someone, just whip out the AG1.
Totally.
Yeah.
I promise I'm this healthy all the time, they'll think. And then they will see how you really live and they'll know that's not true.
Yes, we all use AG1. And here is your chance to start every day this season with a little gift to yourself. You can try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/friends. That's drinkag1.com/friends. Check it out.
That was a great interview. Really
Thank
wish
you.
I could have been there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Really wish
I was
you could
late.
Have been there too, Jake.
I'm sorry I was late, guys. I really wanted to talk to them and learn about Warframe.
It was a fun chat. It was nice. It was, I hadn't caught up with those guys in literally years. And it was really fantastic to see them. And just what they do and the way they do it and how their game has continued to go from strength to strength with this kind of like resolute, just this kind of steadfastness, I should say, that I think is really hard to achieve in the live service space. You know, it just keeps doing its thing and it caters to its community. And
they stick around.
Yeah, they do. Definitely. And I think as well, like there's momentum building up behind it. Like I was saying to them recently, just a whole bunch of my mates just went back and started playing Warframe, or they just dip back into it regularly from time to time. So, I mean, it just has this, staying power that I think is really hard to nail. So,
I think it's the closest game to come to a modern like World of Warcraft. Maybe not on the same success scale, but in terms of like its longevity is really impressive.
10 years. 10 years. That's it. And then, absolutely. And then one thing we talked about briefly was like, Destiny's about to go through this massive challenge of like, the final shape, and a lot of people are planning on stepping off, and they face that, Reverend was telling me, like they face that same challenge themselves when they shipped a big content update years ago, the new war, and they needed to figure out ways to keep people coming back. Mm. And they did it, new ideas are bubbling away and people are excited for the game. So it is possible to keep a game like that going. Mm-hmm. Just really, really hard. Really hard.
Yeah.
Let's jump back to the Game Awards with the announcements. Mm. This is the best part. This is all the fun stuff. I want to hear from, who are we going to go to
let's
first?
Let's just rip the band-aid off
Lucy,
and talk about it.
Let's go.
Yeah. Blade.
Yeah, Blade. Yeah. Blade game. Blade game.
That was the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah.
Because there was obviously this Xbox leak, and the Xbox leak says they're working on Dishonored 3, right? It was like really clearly, obviously Arcade Leon are working on Dishonored 3, therefore it is. And when they showed that, I was totally blown away. I had no idea. Mm. Were there any leaks publicly before
this? It's been whispered about.
It's been knocking around.
But like what, only in industry circles?
Yeah, I haven't heard
but
of it.
But I haven't heard anything online.
I don't think it reached a critical mass where it became like a publicly well-known thing. That,
sure.
Like, it was one of those ones where some people knew about it, and then a kind of very quiet leak happened.
Right.
And it was like, okay, if you had the pre-existing knowledge, you'd be like, okay, that's happening.
Interesting. Yeah. Totally blown away by that.
The art style looks cool because it's very much still their art style. Like
definitely.
The barber was like a chunky man
hands.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
I was like, cool.
chunky man with hands.
Like Dishonored guys. They're like, the guards are just
you can tell
got, like, a
they
thing.
Look like they've been sculpted out of clay.
Yes.
And then like, given detail.
Also just a very cool Blade character design from to see of him.
Well, the thing is as well, so Sebastian Miton, who I think he's creative director on this one now.
Yeah, I think so.
He's like art director on Dishonored and everything. He comes from a fashion background.
No way.
Can you imagine?
Interesting.
The fashion in Blade.
Yeah.
That's why everyone
in
the Dishonored game looks like insane drip.
Like Emily's Coldwyn things. Like super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game is definitely like my game of the show. I'm like super, super excited about it. It's doing a lot of like things that I want from a Blade. Where, for example, you don't get a full on shot of Blade ever. Like he's always like slightly obscured. He's in the darkness, and that's a big issue with like most Blade kind of depictions. Especially the movies, like overexposed. He's a daywalker, he can walk around in the sun, etc., etc. But like it robs him of his kind of like mystique and almost this like the way that he's this like vampire, it's gonna sound real weird. Vampire predator, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
it looks like they're reinstating that. But the other thing is like they also make sure that they characterize him as someone who is kind of fighting for people and community and isn't like kind of, you know, these wanton destruction, and they do it in a really cool way, and it's he pays for his haircut on the way out.
So
like in any other game, like, or any other hero, they just like blast out of there, but like he actually pays. He uses the 20 euro, which means it's contemporary, and it's European. And the other is like the depiction of Paris I really liked, because Paris is like a very multicultural kind of like space. And the building that they zoom in on, the barbershop, it's got like some text from, Arabic text from, I believe it's from the Quran. And they've also got like, you know, crucifixes and stuff like that. And it's like really cool, like this Paris is going to be a melting pot of cultures. And it's like, oh, they're hitting the arcane things.
Yes.
If you know the arcane things, you're like, oh, they're making a Karnaka. It's a real place this time, though. Mm. And the other big thing is, obviously, it's third person.
That's
interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. Because Blade is usually what? Is he set in New York usually? Like, where's he usually operating?
He is usually New York, but he's, it depends on, like, not New York, but like a metropolitan city. He runs in different circles. Like, is he one of the Midnight Suns currently? Is he an Avenger? Sure.
Not locked
in. Yeah. The problem with Blade often is, like, he's, to make him work, most times they elevate him to like a level of like an Iron Man when he shouldn't really be that way.
Right.
He should be like the Daredevil style, like friendly neighborhood character.
Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground. And those are the best stories. And it looks like that's what they're doing.
Yeah. And all that stuff that you said is so interesting, because like obviously we're so saturated with superhero stuff. Like we're all pretty done with it most of the time. Yeah. Like even I definitely felt that with Spidey this time around. I was like, I like this, of course, but it's more Spidey. I'm ready for some different takes on Spidey Universe. And if you were to say to me, like, Spidey in Paris, I'd be like, all right, let's web swing on the Eiffel Tower. You know what I mean? Yeah, at least it's different.
I love that song, Spidey's in Paris.
I'm fed up of wholesome.
White people can rap it.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
absolutely.
And I think with Spider-Man in particular, it can be wholesome to the point of kind of saccharine.
Sure.
And that's why Batman is my favorite superhero, because my boy is mentally
ill.
Objectively the best superhero, because he's messed up.
Well, I've got a game for you. Suicide Squad's just around the corner.
You know what? I didn't hate that trailer.
Well, there you go.
And, you know, rumblings from the alpha is that it's good.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
I do feel kind of like reinvigorated about the superhero stuff, because like all the projects are exciting.
Yeah.
Like Blade's cool.
Wolverine.
Right choice. Arcane Leo. Yeah, sure. Wolverine, like, I love Guardians. I'm wearing the Guardians of the Galaxy game shoes. Like,
right.
I love it.
That is a fantastic game.
And I get more excited now of announcements for not like a movie in the MCU, it's games. And it's I feel like Marvel has been kind of making really good decisions.
They have.
So.
I mean, Midnight Suns was a great game.
Yeah, Midnight Suns got done.
Did not get its flowers. But I mean, actually, it's kind of weird. Like we were saying earlier, that now all movies and TV shows are borrowing from games. And then in the superhero space, that is kind of reversed, because no one gives a shit about Marvel movies at this point.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
Loki season 2. Let me tell you guys.
I know. I actually have been meaning to see that.
Yeah, that's cool.
I know. I can't do it.
I know, I can't
even pretend.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But I think all the stuff that you listed, that makes me super interested in that. Because if you were to say to me, Blade, I'm like, yeah, cool. But all that shit,
Arcane?
Different place, cult, like melting pot of cultures, that thing, I'm like, I'm really kind of, like, I want to see what that is.
I'm really interested to see. I don't think they're gonna do the most obvious thing where it's like, let's take the existing Dishonored mechanics that we know, or the Arcane mechanics, and just apply them to Blade, because third person is tricky to do that.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see how mechanically and design wise they change it up. I think like Deathloop was a really interesting kind of self-reflection game for them, where they like go back and pick apart who they are and lay that out there. And it almost feels like, in a kind of poetic sense, that was them going, now let's figure out what we can do beyond this. Mm. And this could be the game where they're like, set out a new kind of identity for Arcane in what it does. And maybe it has some of those immersive sim elements, but they figure out a way to make it work in an action environment or for a character like Blade. So that's exciting, I think. Like, and we're extremely Arcane pilled. So like, I'm excited to see just what they do.
Totally.
We'll probably get the game before the movie at this point.
Yeah.
The movie's never coming, man. It's too cursed. It's never coming.
Sad.
For me, something I really liked was Big Walk. That's the game from the Untitled Goose Game.
Kookaburra at the sound at the beginning.
I love a game where I'm just like, like the whole time. Like, that's it. Like, I don't really know what you're doing. It's like a cooperative experience.
Was the Kenneth Foddy one they announced recently?
The walking one.
Yeah. That's what I thought that was.
Dirty Walking Man. Like,
what's
the Rose
called?
Man.
I mean,
like,
it's called something.
Diaper Man Walks.
Quap or something. Yeah. No, not Quap, but like Quap.
Baby Steps or something, was it?
Baby Steps.
Baby Steps. Yeah, Baby Steps. No, you're right. I agree. And it did look cool. And I
don't know, that's far off, though. That's 2025.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like the little touch that they used to kind of make sure that the overall feeling was joy. And it's the characters constantly bounce up and down like this. Yeah. So they're standing like this. And then
Katamari
like,
kind of stuff. Yeah.
I was like, that's a good vibe.
Yeah, it looked cool.
Definitely. I was actually very surprised to see Monster Hunter revealed. No, we knew Monster Hunter was coming as a reveal.
Well, because Capcom were like, totally. We got a big game. But I thought they said 2024 for that big game. So when Monster Hunter was 25, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that was the big surprise because everyone has been betting on like Q1 24 for Monster Hunter. Like that was the word for ages. Mm. And we're like, okay, cool, let's go. But now it's 2025. That's a long way off. And World was a while ago now, you know? So clearly they've been putting a lot into it. I like the look of it. It does look like you can carry two weapons, which is massive for that franchise and could just lead to some crazy ass shit. So I'm very keen for that. Mm. But I am low-key bummed that it's 2025. Nice to have been sooner.
I wonder if they're like thinking about what kind of game that is. It's not necessarily the game, but I wonder if it's a case of like, let's make sure that we create some distance. Obviously, it's also they need to make the game, but create some distance with Dragon's Dogma because obviously that's their big game for next year, early next year, I believe that is, right?
That's March.
Yeah,
March. So I wonder, 6th or something? Yeah.
I really enjoy the original Dragon's Dogma. Is Dragon's Dogma 2 going to really permeate the public consciousness as much as they are betting on it?
Is it for the Dragon's Dogma perverts?
Yeah.
And
that's
I mean, it could be. Like,
yeah. I've never played the first one, so I couldn't say.
It's good.
Cool. Yeah, everyone says it's fantastic. Yeah. So
I feel
like
also they're counting on kind of goodwill and momentum from the games that they have made beyond.
Totally.
Like
agree.
Capcom, I think, has turned it around in a big, big way.
Totally agree.
And like they have definitely have some momentum with their remakes and that kind of stuff.
It's also, but it's also like it's too soon for 9.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And because, that would usually be like a Game Awards thing or a TGA or a E3 thing.
When we saw like when he said 65 million years in the making for an announcement.
Oh, what
I was like,
please
be Dino Crisis, please be Dino Crisis. And then they showed this Jurassic. What do you think it's a Jurassic Park trailer, Jake?
I was offended.
Why?
They invoked John Hammond's voice.
I think
voice.
It looks shit, to be honest with you. I really do think it looks shit.
I mean, I don't even know what it is.
I don't know what it is. I don't think that was the best, I think it was one of those trailers that's just trying to tug on the old nostalgia strings.
But that was a thing,
And it's like, I get that, but, you know, if you go back and watch Alien Isolation.
Sure.
You can invoke Alien, but also get an idea of what you're going to be doing in the game.
Yeah, but this just seemed like it was playing all the hits from the movie. And I was like, well, if all you can really show is, hey, remember the thing from the movie?
Oh, dude,
remember
that thing from the movie? As soon as she went in the kitchen, I was like,
you've already seen this scene. Like, what else have you got at that point?
She tripped over the spoon. I was really?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was at.
You're going to be all turned around on it when they reveal it's like one of those Dead by Daylight. and you can play as a raptor.
So true.
Oh, what was the Dead by Daylight? The casting of Frank Stone?
Yeah.
Supermassive?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very cool. Like atmospheric, like good reveal.
I bet
Dead by Daylight fans are probably like, that's the guy. I have no idea.
Nothing in there. I was like,
finally, Frank Castle, not Frank Castle.
Frank Stone.
Frank Yeager's
Castle. For me, the other big standout was, and it's interesting because there are a lot of remakes, re-releases, sequels. They are often considered like the safer bet, and Sega kind of did that in this crazy big batch announcement of a new Shinobi, a new Golden Axe, a new Crazy Taxi, a new Jet Set. I'm definitely missing one.
Is this Virtua Fighter on that?
Streets of Rage.
I thought that was a really cool trailer.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was.
It's weird because we were talking about Jet Set Radio and Crazy Taxi
earlier that day.
Completely unrelated.
You talk about it, but the day before our friend Ludwig came to Giant Bomb Nights and he was randomly wearing a Jet Set Radio shirt. We were like,
it's pretty sick.
But no, I mean, in terms of, contrasting it with the Jurassic Park trailer, which is pulling on nostalgia and then not doing anything with it.
Yes.
The Sega trailer.
This was like, we're doing it.
We're doing
it.
But also, it did the fake gamers acting. Like, did you see the game?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But,
we've seen much worse at Ubisoft.
When it did the eye. And
that was nice.
I was like, that's good.
I liked it when the Sega went on for like unsettlingly long. Was it crashed?
It was a nice touch. I like. And I mean, look, I'm still cautious about all that. So I don't know. Sega, they're a bit hit and miss in general. And I also saw that Crazy Taxi
could be like a mobile game.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Golden Axe as well. Sorry, Lucy, go.
No, I was gonna say with Persona, like the re-releasing the old hits, and I know this, you know, obviously the Persona team, whatever, but like, I really wonder if how P3 is going to be, like Reload.
Sure.
Because if they're putting the care in.
I view Atlas so different to Sega, though.
Yeah.
I really
but
just view them as like,
very...
like FromSoft is not Bandai. FromSoft is FromSoft. You know?
Yeah, yeah. The same with like RGG and Atlas. Like,
yeah.
They're the same.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
yeah.
It feels like they operate on a different like quality level.
Core Sega is like Sonic Frontiers.
you know what yeah,
I mean? Like,
that's
how
point.
I see Core. I just pissed off a lot of people, I'm sure. But like, that's how I see it. And so I'm cautious. I also saw that Golden Axe footage and I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I was like, that was the only. The other ones look sick.
Yeah.
But the Golden Axe one, I was like, yeah.
Same with the Streets of Rage, where I looked at it and I was like, is that the Streets of Rage I want?
Sure. Because they did Streets of Rage
recently.
Yeah, they were really good games.
Very good.
I loved it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Look, I'm keen for them to go in that direction. It's cool that Sega's doing this stuff. I think it makes a lot of sense because we do have very deep connections to that era. Like, we all played that shit back then. They were on top at that point, you know?
Yeah.
They were ascendant. And so for them to reach back into that is really cool.
I'm just so happy Crazy Taxi is coming back. Yeah. I really hope it is what it, you know, it is a traditional kind of like game where it's, because that idea is so well done and like it's so kind of versatile and fertile for like more games to come out for it. So I hope it's.
There's one that released a little while, like last year on Steam.
The floating column.
Yeah, that was that one. And that's why I wonder though. I'm like, because if you release that game today, I don't think it works.
It doesn't play.
And so
very
it's like,
well.
What else do you do with that? And then that's where I start to worry. I'm like, what else do you do with that? Like, what else is Sega going to do with that?
Gacha's even.
Like, you have to pay for taxi service. So I'm like, the kind of like scope for like micro monetizing like taxi rides is like worrying.
Yeah. Imagine if it got its own announcement. Like, you see like a trailer, it's like the tires are spinning and it cuts to black.
Offspring.
And then you see more and then it cuts to black again. And it's like, Yeah.
That would have been so sick.
Everyone
would have gone wild.
I've always had this idea in my head for a narrative around the Crazy Taxi games where it's like old taxi versus Uber like style.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And that's why he's driving like that.
Yeah,
I gotta be Uber.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I really like the from the Dead Cells team.
Windblown.
Yeah, and I only saw part of that trailer because I was actually walking in while that was happening because the line to get into the thing was so long this year, by the way.
Well, yeah, because usually it's never sold out.
Yeah. And there was the line were around the street this time.
Yeah.
And so I was super late in and I saw that trailer rolling and I'm like, damn, what the fuck is this? And then I found out later, I'm like, oh, it's the Dead Cells people. No wonder it looks that good, you know?
Yeah.
Good art, critters with murder. Like a lot
of. It also
like
looks
bullet.
Co-op?
Yeah,
well, I don't know.
I saw multiple.
Like there were multiple people at the same time.
Yeah.
So, what was the. The Private Division Moon Studios one.
Oh yeah, the Moon Studios.
Yes.
It's got a
something about the Wicked.
Yeah.
Oh,
no
rest
for
the
wicked.
Wicked.
Yeah.
The Ori people.
Yes.
Yeah. That
looks
cool.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I think they really nailed that trailer. Looked like the art style was out of control.
Yeah.
It was super good.
The other game the opening, the game around like the hearing impaired game, like the music game.
The accessible music game.
Yeah, that looks really cool.
Was that the start of the like was that
it was like very
very,
very early, I think.
Yeah, it was
No,
it wasn't the main stage.
Was it the end of the pre-show?
No,
it might have been the end of pre-show.
It wasn't, okay. No, because Stu's shaking his head he wasn't. So I think, because I didn't see that, so that might have been pre-show.
Yeah, it might have been.
So what is it exactly?
So it's like this music game, but
The character was wearing hearing.
Apologies if I use the wrong phrasing, like, despite having someone in my family who is deaf. I don't know the latest kind of like, but it's a character that seems to be deaf, and the whole conceit is around her discovering music, I think, and like almost like Alice in Wonderlanding into a different world where music is a little more alive and stuff like that.
And like a linear kind of like third person platforming adventure, and the music was very like a big Disney movie, like musical.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
it had a Frozen style element to it, where it's like, oh, this girl singing really excitedly, and it looks really cool. I recommend going back to watch that trailer because I remember watching it and feeling like this is a really cool concept, and it looks like really interesting, especially like given that it's a music game around a deaf character. Cool.
Sure. Yeah. Right. What do you guys think of the Kojima thing? We talked about it being long.
So
it didn't say much.
The trailer itself, being in the auditorium, I guess with the loudspeakers, I thought it was genuinely unsettling.
Sure.
It was a cool little tease.
It also gave me we've recorded some face capture stuff, and now we're gonna put it up on a screen vibes, like which
we
is
just
like,
started.
Yeah,
exactly. But I remember hearing that like Sophia Lillis and Hunter Schafer were in talks with Kojima to do something, and I was like, Sophia Lillis was the best part about it for me. Like, she was so good in it, and then she kind of did the D&D movie, but never anything that really she could popped show her chops. And then in that, I was like, she's like 16 or something too, and I was like, that's, you're really good. I'm really intrigued to see what they do, because and Hunter Schafer as well.
Yeah, I mean, I really like, because everyone's like, oh, it's just motion cap, like face cam, whatever. And it is. But I actually just found it very powerful to watch. You know what I mean? Yes. I think that's what Kojima understood when he saw that. He's like, well, just play this and it's going to capture people's attention.
I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, because he also said, like, didn't he say it was like the next stage in entertainment? He said something.
Yeah,
he Sean married himself.
Yeah, definitely.
He's Sean married big
time.
He's
transferred us before.
Yeah.
And he'll probably do it again.
Transfer me, daddy.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'm obviously on board but he did say, like, this is going to be a new way to experience.
It's a new medium.
A new medium,
It's going to be interesting to see. So he's working with Jordan Peele, but he also said that he's working with a team of a bunch of other people.
I mean,
they were
Flanagan,
like the Avengers.
For sure.
I think it's an anthology series.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Flanagan,
Del Toro.
I actually know one of them. I won't say, but I'll tell you after.
It definitely
makes sense.
Text the group.
it feels like it's a really interesting approach for him. It also feels like it's something that could set him up to almost like have a ongoing project.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a way that is really clever, because it allows like a prestige moment for Xbox as well. Because this is the Xbox game, right?
Yeah, that's
wild. So like
wild.
Every now and then, like they could be like, this is Kojima and Wes Craven is here.
You think
stuff.
Xbox pitched him like, do you want to just hang with your homies?
Yeah.
Make stuff, make stuff with your boys.
I think they were like, what do you want to make? And he was like, friendship.
Yeah, you're right, actually. It's so true.
Starfield aside, but I think Xbox had,
a great show.
Great show with the, having being attached to the Kojima thing, obviously, but also the Hellblade stuff.
Yes.
Still no bloody release date on that. Yeah.
No, that's true. No. It's got to be. They did say 2025, and you got to guess it's like
24.
So excuse me, sorry. Yeah. So 2024, and you got to guess it's like sooner rather than later, because it's like been in the oven a long time now. They've shown a lot of stuff. I feel like it's got to be, but like,
I feel like if it was sooner rather than later, they'd be like wish list now.
Yeah, I guess right. Yeah.
True.
They did have the on Game Pass day one kind of splash screen.
Yeah.
I am so excited for that. I love the first one.
Yeah.
And it's like watching that trailer, I was like, there's no other game that has this type of aesthetic. Like it's like almost like a Robert Eggers, like dirty, grimy, like real thing.
Yeah.
The
music as well.
The thing that it's easy to forget about is like Ninja Theory. Mm-hmm. I was getting mixed up. Every game they've made has been on a shoestring budget, where they've like DIY'd all this stuff together. And like even Hellblade is remembered as being like really excellent, but like you go back to it and you can see
where they had
can see how they like made that happen for themselves, just you know, through gusto. Mm. This is the first game that they've got like engine on it. They've got like, as in like they got heat behind them, money and power and that kind of thing.
They got weird ghoul money.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Build that weird ghoul man.
Yeah, they can make freaks is where they're at.
Freak
now.
Money, excuse me. Yeah, I misspoke.
So like that's one of the most interesting parts of it. It's also like the whole like Hellblade. It's called like Senua's Sacrifice
Hellblade
2. Yeah. Senua's Sacrifice. But is this like isn't it like a saga or something?
Senua's Saga.
So it's like there's more stories to be told in this sense. Like, I'm excited to see that
the
stuff.
The key art rips, too.
Yeah,
like,
cool.
The hands on the face.
Yeah, it's
great.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Any Elden Ring in there, pal? Any Elden Ring in there?
Yeah.
The hands.
I saw on Reddit about Baldur's Gate, and it turns out, because Baldur's Gate now, by the way, it's out on Xbox, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I read on Reddit that they were meant to announce on stage
when
they got an award that it was out, and they forgot.
Just like, I forgot.
Yeah, and so now people 2 minutes after the show were like, hey, it's there in the shop. I could play it now. Sick, you know?
Yeah. It leaked.
But that's kind of what everyone was expecting, didn't it? But people were hoping for a shadow drop on Game Pass. And I'm like, nah, man, they're going to sell it to you. They're going to sell it.
You're paying for that money.
Totally.
You're paying for that game.
God of War.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a surprise, I think. Like, logically, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, it's the right time. You've always done some DLC in the past. Mm-hmm. You do a little bit more. It seems to me like not much, though. It seems to me like an arena fighting expansion thing.
Maybe like a little roguelike type
thing. Yeah, and then Winnie's like, oh, that's part of the process. Let's do it again.
Let's do it again, brother.
I got, that.
Yeah.
So I'm not expecting anything massive for that. But it's like if there's an excuse to play it and it's good, then sure. You know what I mean? But
yeah, I mean, like, it's not going to be... I mean, like, after seeing the new Hitman Freelancer mode, where, like, taking pieces of games and reconstituting them as something to something else, I'm not saying it's going to be on that level of quality, but I'm more open to the idea of, like, coming at the same games that we know from new perspectives. And also, combat is one of the most satisfying parts of that game. So giving people who love that combat a way to... you know, get in there constantly without having to, you know, go through the narrative each time and have like these repeated sequences.
Yeah.
I think that's smart on their part. Mm. It's not exactly gonna tie them over to a new God of War, but it's like just a nice way to get and it's free. So it's like
totally.
Yeah. I will
and
say
it's like out this weekend.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I will say being sat next to you was very funny when everything was getting announced because Tam handles all our reviews and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And so every time it was like, and it's out today. And it's out on the 12th.
The
new
finals,
story content in Alan Wake.
Finals is out. Yeah, that's wild.
Finals is out too. And at Tam at one point, I can't remember, I think it was the Final Fantasy one, you just went,
I genuinely, I'm like, at a certain point, like, I have to look at my writers and be like, enough is enough. I'm not gonna cover this because like people are they want to stop and they need to stop and we have to give people and I'm not I tweeted about it but I went with a joke tweet but like I keep thinking about it and it sounds like woe is me or woe is us, we have to cover games, but at a certain point you're like people are burnt out like uncovering games it is
don't
like and we're in the phase of the year we're
don't
in the phase of the year
me.
Where we should be easing off now
I agree
and
I agree.
Like
January's pretty empty guys
exactly but
and Alone in the Dark just got bumped as well
did it?
It did
oh so when
to March
also if the wild crossover between Dave the Diver and Dredge.
Dave the Dredger.
That.
Yeah.
That was like two of the best.
I was next to Lucy
and
Lucy
yeah.
was like gasping
me
the entire time. This
is
her Elden Ring.
That's cool. I forgot.
Exactly
about that.
So do we know what that is? I don't really even
I don't know.
I don't know if you have I assume like you have to have Dave the Diver and then there's
I think
just
it is
like
a,
Dredge
yeah.
content in
yeah,
Dave
yeah.
the Diver.
In Dave the Diver. That's what it seemed to me because like the shopkeep
put Dave the Diver in Smash.
Did they announce something for Smash recently? Like there's new something. Spirits coming to Smash or something?
Maybe.
I don't know what
surprised.
That was. I saw something.
Like the Holy Spirit?
Yes, exactly.
The final spirit.
You all need it, gamers.
That's right.
Sakurai's like, heathens. This
Jesus.
Is the final boss you'll never win.
Yeah.
Light No Fire. Are we going to talk about that? It looked cool.
Wait, which one was that?
That's the Sean Murray Hello game.
Oh, yeah, that did look cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I
style's cool.
I just, to me, it kind of just looked like No Man's Sky, but like, not?
Birds?
But like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is at this point. So I really have nothing to say on it, except it just looks like more No Man's Sky, but kind of repurposed for something else.
Like, what's the hook? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Like, when it was cool, like, oh, you could build houses wherever you want. Can you kill them? Like, can you, what are we doing?
Can
we
kill the houses?
Steal the houses?
But if everyone's playing together as well, is that on the same?
I think that's a big part of
it. It's like a nice simulator.
Well,
like everybody's nice.
They emphasized this is the first open world. Like, it's not a universe. It's a, I think the whole thing is like, we're going to take a planet and try and make it as like
playable
and like give it the depth that it deserves. And I think like it looked like a lot of it was like quite manual, like moving around. And there's one point where they have like a thing, what do you call it, a bird or something they're flying.
Yeah.
And they were flying by and as they passed someone who was just building something in the middle of the sky. So I feel like it's like it could be like a Minecraft turn to, and it's also got that fantasy aesthetic on top. I'm in a similar spot where it's like I don't really understand like I can see that it's enough, it's a new idea for them that could, I mean, like they sustained No Man's Sky for 10 years off something that people looked at and were like, this is not great.
So that's true.
It's a it was a world premiere.
World premiere.
They don't say it anymore. I'm disappointed.
He did at the beginning.
But I don't want Jeff to say it. I want the voice.
Right.
I want Flute Guy to do it.
Other than that, what's the Atlas one? Fantasio.
Oh, God. That's a bad name.
It's like Bravely Default Flying Fairy energy.
However, it does look pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm not like a massive Persona person, but at the same time, I look at that and I'm like, that looks sick.
Sojimo's on it. Hushno's on it.
Yeah,
it's big.
I'm like, can't came for that. So
then where's Persona?
I really liked a bunch of those trailers, but also a lot of them bled into each other.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the year where I feel truly oversaturated with like first person shooters that are kind of vibrant in a way. Like, yeah. I think
it's
I'm
like
done,
quirky like, characters.
Yeah, like not too characters. Like the Ikumi Nakamura game kind of blurs into Finals, which blurs into that other game from the
Lightspeed
game like team, and I'm just like, I feel like it's enough, man. Like,
yeah.
Now the games that stick out are like there's a few games that like the ones that stand out are the, like the ones that are like a reminder that there's other things happening, and like weirdly Blade is that, and you know
Life
the
is Strange.
Life is Strange.
Well, it's not Life is Strange. Like, Lost Records.
Yeah, something like that. I think this is the first time I've come away looking like the big blockbuster showpieces are just aren't doing it for me. Even like God of War, I was like,
sure.
Okay, I love God of War, but I'm all right with that, you know. But yeah, there's just something to be said for things that look exactly the same being like put into a show that's and then like speeding through everything.
Yes, that was it. There were like four Fortnite trailers.
Yeah, and there's like Exo Mecha.
There was
Mecha Exo.
Totally. Yeah. There was like all there's like four of the Genshin Impact style games being advertised at once, games. And I don't know which ones they are, which ones are being published where and what, and it's just like, okay, I know they exist for other people who got like enjoy. But you're right, I think there was just this came back to our earlier conversation where when you're just being relentlessly pummeled with trailers, you can pay attention at the start, excuse me, but by the end you're just kind of like, all right, we're still doing this, are we? And because we're like, was 3 hours of ads we just got we went through, you know what I mean? And it just because there's so few personal moments within that show, you just sort of, I don't know, I just became numb to it all by the end.
Yeah.
You know?
And it used to happen at E3 as well. Remember when we used to sit down in front of the TV and like blast through trailers?
Yeah.
And like, I think it reached a point eventually where publishers and like platform holders figured out that it doesn't work. And Nintendo did it well, where the Treehouse stuff would come up afterwards.
Yes.
And they would do like intricate segments, like this is what's actually going on.
Yeah.
It feels like it needs something like that because like I can't imagine the Ikumi Nakamura game in my head right now. Clearly.
I saw people jumping off a
jumping, and then there was like a gate, and then the yokai.
Yokai at the end, and the other like, characters looking up.
At like, moments, like the finals bleeds into it, and I'm just like, oh, I can't remember.
But you mean, I mean, maybe like, instead of, I mean, I know obviously the Game Awards is the big end of the year thing. But I mean, some of the stuff could, I mean, Xbox do it now. Like, PlayStation do it. They have like,
their showcases.
Spread throughout the year. Nintendo does it. It just feels like, as long as you can put together a good enough show, people will remember.
We'll do it. We should do one. Games per second.
Dude, we could have, absolutely
one trailer per second. you like, thought you were getting
it. You thought you were already
Well.
Watch this shit.
Jeff would be like, why didn't I think of that earlier?
Call us, man.
Yeah. Those will not get the viewing figures. And like, you know, every year the Game Awards, like the numbers go up. The numbers go up. And it's because it is that one event.
Yeah.
And I don't think you could sustain that.
For sure. For sure.
But, you know.
Any other major announcements that we missed, you think? Anything else?
For me,
got the list.
Doing a scroll.
Yeah, no, I think
Black Myth Wukong still looks tight.
Oh, that
still
was
Rise of the Ronin.
Listen, I'll cop to this myself.
Go on.
I was just during the thing, I was like, I'm just gonna tweet game looks cool. Game looks awesome. And I just did that.
Sure.
Black Myth Wukong was one of them. And then I remembered and I deleted the tweet because Rebecca
put out the thing
about that studio is just like not, like there's some toxic stuff happening over there. Like some real rough stuff. And like I looked at that game. I was like, this looks awesome.
It does.
I forgot that happened. Yeah, it's worth acknowledging that's something that's ongoing. Like I said, I deleted my tweet.
Sure.
And I'm sure people saw it and were like, hypocrite. But like, I just forgot in that moment. And yeah, Rebecca's reporting on it is worth checking out.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Also, her piece on Bungie from this week.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. She's done amazing
Red Valentine.
Work recently. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Are you guys getting a little burnt on Souls-like games, though? I mean, you probably not.
Well, I don't play Souls-like
You really
games.
Only stick to...
I play enough to know whether it's going to hit for me. And the only one that's hit is Laz P.
Yeah,
sure.
Oh, that one didn't get anything, did it?
No, that was another
expected.
Major.
Was it nominated for action?
It was.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, like, it's a disappointment for me, but
sure.
I just find myself like watching a lot of trailers now, and as soon as it cuts to gameplay, and I see, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not going to get to that boss.
Circle strafing.
I'd love to see it. Yeah, circle strafing and like a red flash for a big attack. I'm like, oh, here we are.
Yeah. No, I'm not burnt out on it. I still really enjoy them. Yeah, and I, so yeah.
I like easy games. Sorry.
Yeah,
I'll say it here. Maybe not easy. I like to be challenged, but not like kill myself.
That kind of wall that goes up, you need to like push through it.
I'm tired,
I get that. Yeah, you get it's a lot. It is a lot.
I got four kids. I don't have time for this.
Yeah, right. Jake's four kids.
Kid reveal on the
podcast. Kid reveal.
Family reveal.
Yeah. I love it, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think
my family, life isn't thanks. Hard enough. Yeah. I'm like, I'm like maxing on being as stressed as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that was pretty much all of the.
Dude, stuff briefly, MIA's still Hollow Knight. Where is that game, dog?
Where is
Silksong? Where is that game, dog?
Good lord.
I you know, they're working on that stuff, but like at this point, it's like. Weird how long it's been gone.
Yeah. So, oh God. Like, what's happening?
Yeah. No, kind of like, I mean, you shouldn't have expected it, but like, usually Hades is here in some sort of fashion.
Yeah.
Like, the Supergiant.
Is that going into early access this year? 2024?
Yeah. Sorry? Next year, I would have expected. But they're also the kind of team who, like, can be like, we showed our trailer, we're done, we're working. They're not a massive studio as well, so I'm sure this kind of rigmarole is probably taking precious time and resources away from. Actually making the game, so it's probably a good call, but I just went in there thinking, oh, we might get to see a little more of Hades.
Yeah. The one reveal that actually caught my eye was that first Berserker
well, the thing is that I misheard it.
And I heard it, me
I
too.
Heard
the first Berserker game.
First Berserk, and I'm like, what? Fuck, alright, alright, let's go.
And also the guy from the back sort of looked a little bit like Griffith, and I was like,
So but that looked really great, and I'm not sure... Yeah, what that is, bottom line. It looks like another Souls like.
Cool character design.
The art design is just incredible.
Was
so
that
was
Level
like,
Infinite game?
I think it was one of those.
Yeah. It looks a little, was it Code Vein-y?
You immediately were like, Code Vein. I was like, that's the point.
But it did look cool, I think. Yeah, that one stood out to me.
We forgot the biggest announcement of all time. Apex Legends, Final Fantasy Collaboration.
Oh,
that's right,
What's that all about? What's going on there?
Well, they just finished a Post Malone thing, and now they're doing a Final Fantasy thing.
I think, I think that's really cool for Apex, because we used to play a lot, and then I took a break of like a year, and I jumped in, and it was...
A nightmare of characters who I don't have access to, so I'm not paying for them.
But like, again, we talk about ways of keeping community engaged, like, definitely tapping into what do you call Post Malone fans?
Post Malone
posties.
Posties.
Postmates.
In Australia, a postie is what we call the postman.
Yeah.
I like though, like Fortnite kind of opened the door for everything being crazy and stupid.
Yeah.
Like Warzone now, you can shoot Nicki Minaj with a gun as spawn.
Yeah. Do you remember there was a time in the industry where people were so protective over the way their IP was presented?
Now
it's like,
you want some?
You want them to do the L dance? Go for it.
It's wild. I heard a story years ago that a game wanted to have, and it was a Square Enix game, and they wanted to have a character hum a tune from Final Fantasy in it.
Right.
And Final Fantasy. Oh, they were like, no. Absolutely not. And so then to see them in Apex, it's so weird. And I think that's awesome. If they are loosening the grasp on the brands.
Yes.
But hopefully not to the point where it gets diluted and, you know, I don't know. I don't want to see Cloud.
Is Cloud in Fortnite? Yeah, right?
No, I just assumed.
Stuart is shaking his head over there. No. He knows.
He's not.
Because this man plays Fortnite, okay? So he knows.
We got a Fortnite over here.
Yeah,
he
knows. Like,
Fortnite.
I want to see Cloud flossing. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
It's only a matter of time.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely going to happen. Anything that becomes popular eventually has to come to Fortnite. Yeah. That's the rules. That's the rules of popularity.
Rocket League. What is it called? Rocket Racing.
Rocket Racing.
Yeah, that looks interesting. But it's in Fortnite.
It is. Well, it's not in Fortnite per se. It's the Unreal. So those three games, there's the Lego game, there's the Fortnite Festival, and there's the Rocket Racing. They're Unreal Engine, like Unreal Editor in Fortnite. So they're basically making these games with Unreal Engine in Fortnite, but they're separate standalone games.
Yeah.
Okay. So but you still access them through the Fortnite client. This is where it gets complicated. So
have you heard of the Metaverse?
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Metaverse?
Basically, like, you know Roblox, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Fortnite is becoming Roblox. Log into the client, and I didn't know this until I logged in recently. When I used to log into Fortnite, there was a button that said play, and I'm like, cool, I'll play. Now you log in, and it's a whole bunch of
shit.
No, it's
games.
A fucking nightmare.
Now it's like, I don't actually like the interface at all. It's shit. But like, basically, it's a whole bunch of games that people have made in Unreal Engine in Fortnite, And these are three of those games, but obviously they're made by proper studios as opposed to just fans.
Yeah, it confuses me though. Like as a consumer, I'm like, wait, so is this like Rocket League? Like they made a new game?
Yes.
Like a full on.
Yes.
Cool. And it's like, given how many times we saw the Lego trailer, it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
We didn't really know that.
Yeah. It's just also a weird like messaging roadblock where like, oh, I want to play that new Lego game. Okay, download Fortnite.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
But I think they'll push through that pretty quickly though. Yeah.
Every kid has Fortnite.
Yeah, when you get to the critical mass on that, like with Roblox, like Roblox is so disgustingly successful.
Yeah.
I mean, and I can absolutely see Fortnite recreating that model, and it makes a lot of sense for sure. So
I told my my sister I'm getting the kids a Switch, and I was like, I'll get you some games and whatever.
Nice.
And my sister went, oh, what? They really want to play building games. And I just went, do not download Roblox.
Do not download
Dragon Quest
Roblox.
Builders.
Yeah, Dragon Quest Builders is a great one.
Yeah.
You will learn. No, totally. It's like Minecraft.
Minecraft, yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. What a year.
What a year.
What a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a good one. Well, I mean, I think the show was not.
And then he fades away.
the show was not, I don't think. But the year was good.
The year was really good.
The year was good.
Yeah. Four games.
For the industry, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
It is. I can't remember what we talked about this in Giant Bomb on the Couch in the night show, but like, it feels like the challenges stacked against the video game industry are more than ever these days. Mm. With like, we when there was one boss, which was like blockchain, it was hard enough. Yeah. Now we just walked into like a wave-based, like AI, blockchain, layoffs, all that kind of stuff.
Interest rates.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm still quite hopeful for a kind of like stabilization in the future. I'm excited for the future. If anything, the Game Awards was a good moment to be excited about what is coming still, and it's hard to do that right now, especially with all the layoffs and stuff. It's good to acknowledge it, but it's easy to be like,
because I spoke with a lot of developers this week, a lot of media people. To be honest, most of them are like, yo, next year's gonna be worse. That's the clear message that came from everyone that I spoke to, because they're like, we're seeing the unsustainability of the overall AAA model, which has been called out for years, but now you're looking at an interest rate, the price of cash has gone up significantly, which we don't really talk about in our world, but like, it is a huge factor. Unfortunately, when you need the line to always go up, when the line starts to go flat, then business people start making these decisions.
Yeah, the model does fucking work all sucks. Of a sudden. Yeah.
That's just how it is. Unfortunately, it fucking blows, but that is how it is. And so with the cash, like price of cash being what it is, you're going to see more of that. I think as well on the media side, there's going to be a lot of transformation in that era. Like as AI comes in, and it just takes a wrecking ball to massive sections of the media industry, because you won't need to click on articles pretty soon. It's all just going to be rolled up. It's all going to be rolled up to you and just fed straight to you. And so all those websites that rely on ads and whatever, they will die.
I'm going to be AI generated.
You don't need me.
I'm going to be a hologram. I'm going for hologram, which means I got a die soon.
Hurry up.
We lost to a VTuber this year as Content Creator of the Year. You know what
I
mean?
So I was like,
times are changing,
I was the Homelander in the audience. It was the ears ring. I'm just like, what the fuck is this?
unfortunately, I don't see. I think there's some cool games coming, obviously, but I think in terms of the industry, I don't sense a lot of optimism from people I spoke to. These people really know what they're talking about, by the way.
Yeah.
And so I definitely think we're like in for definitely another rough year.
I had quite a similar experience with the people I tried to, and it's really sad that this conversation was couched in excitement for the thing that they were making.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're really excited about this, but the industry is going to be like in a rough place.
Yeah.
It's like, it's such a heartbreaking dichotomy to experience.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
How do I spin this to like a...
Hey,
everybody, thanks for listening.
Everything's great. Catching up. Yeah.
Well, this is our final podcast for 20...
Is it?
Is it?
I think we should do one more. Let's do
one more.
We've got one more in us.
What do we got?
One more in us.
What week is that? Christmas week? A little Christmas draw?
Yeah, that's it. Let's just have a bit of fun with it.
Okay.
Do some relaxed Bant stuff.
Yeah.
We would have talked about all the games. We can just hang out for a bit.
A bunch
nice.
Just came out. So.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
that's true.
Yeah, especially because we haven't been playing too much right now. We've been kind of
totally.
I've been traveling.
Been traveling and yeah, playing Fortnite.
Famously, you can't play games on the go. So
actually, I have the Lenovo Legion Go. I bought one.
Yeah, I saw five ads for it.
Yeah. I touched one. I don't love it.
It's
so
a chunker.
I describe it as the Game Gear of the modern day.
I 100% agree. 100% agree.
Grubb had it in the office the other day, Jeff Grubb, and I'm not going to make the motion.
Sure,
but. You know how you can have you have the
detachable
upright mice.
Yeah, it's not good.
So, well, I'll do it.
It's a lot of this going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't ever want to be seen doing that. I'll be on a flight. Just don't mind me, guys. I'm having a good time. Like the Switch was bad enough. Playing fucking 1-2 Switch.
Yeah.
You can't see the controller, like it's tiny. So yeah. No. Imaginary Macarena's? What's going on?
I have a GIF. Oh, no, I have a video of you and Dave doing the milking.
Yeah.
Cow.
It's just us going like this really slowly. Yeah. Looking into each other's eyes. Like,
beautiful.
Yeah.
We did that for her before you, but I was doing it and it's just zooming in on my face as I'm doing it. Like.
I love it.
Well, video games.
Video games.
Video games.
Yep. Thank you all for being here.
Yeah, good seeing you guys. It's nice to be
in
person.
It's always good to do it.
Yeah, great to have Stu here as well.
Yeah, shout out to Stu.
And
thanks for the edit, Stu.
Yeah, appreciate it as always.
Don't fuck it up. You can.
Yeah.
You can, it's fine.
Yeah. You just got to cut around all the Donkey Kong stuff.
Yeah. Had to put in some of it, actually.
Yeah,
it's got to be a blooper. There's got to be a bloopers reel to take us out.
Yeah,
it's just Jake.
Oh, boy.
Just put some quiet Donkey Kong music in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh,
aquatic ambience is called. Thank you,
Tam. Nice. Thanks for
thanks
thank you for having me. As always,
it's always great to have you.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Well, that's it, folks. I'm Jake Baldino. This is Skill Up. This is Lucy.
I'm so sorry you left the gap, and we should have helped you out.
Yeah. I was like, where's he gonna go with this?
No, I never know how to end. Thank you, everybody, for listening, watching, clicking the like button, rating us on podcast platforms. Really helps. We appreciate you guys, but that's it. So tie your shoes and go to bed.